This is Audible.
You're listening to the audio production of A December Bride by Denise Hunter, published by Zondervan and read by Julie Lyles Carr.
Chapter 1. Layla O'Reilly squeezed into a corner of the bustling kitchen of Cappy's Pizzeria and leaned into the receiver. No, no, no. You cannot cancel on me now. The wedding's in 5 hours. 5 hours, Cooper. She wound the spiral cord around her fist, a sweat breaking out on her forehead. Layla, don't even tell me you have to work. I asked you over a month ago. You said you got the night off. If you just let me talk. I have strep, Layla. I'm contagious. I have to be on an antibiotic for at least 24 hours before... I'll risk it. She didn't care if he had malaria. She was going to this wedding, and she was going with a date. Nothing said, see, I've moved on, like an attractive man draped on your arm. I feel like trash. I have 102-degree fever and barbed wire in my throat. Layla took a deep breath, the familiar aromas of garlic and oregano filling her nose. She couldn't believe this was happening. Now that you mention it, you don't sound so good. I'm sorry, he said. I know tonight's a big deal. She closed her eyes. It's not your fault. The strep or the wedding. She banged the receiver against her temple once, twice, three times. I'll bring you chicken soup tomorrow. My sister's already on it. Don't worry about it. What are you going to do about tonight? I don't know. Just don't go. You don't need them. My whole family will be there. This isn't about your family, and you know it, he said. This is about you having something to prove. She knotted her fist around the cord. Nothing stung as long and hard as betrayal. Shut it, Cooper. You know I'm right. Olivia passed with a tray, nodding her head toward the back. Layla followed the direction of her nod. Cappy's bald head gleamed under the kitchen lights. He gave Layla a pointed look. I have to go. I'm in the middle of lunch rush. She took two orders, working on automatic as her mind filtered through the possibilities. She had to find someone, and quick. On her break, she made a few calls. No luck. Think, Layla. She tidied her long brown ponytail before exiting the break room. She had 2.5 more hours of work, 1 hour to get ready, and a half-hour drive to Louisville. Feeling desperate, she scanned Cappy's. The new busboy, David, wasn't bad-looking, and he was always smiling at her. She hadn't encouraged him because he was 4 years younger, but no one would know. Besides, desperate times and all that. A few minutes later, she walked away from David even more depressed. He was scheduled till closing. Worse, her invitation had encouraged him. You okay? Olivia asked as she passed. Yeah, fine. Well, order's up for table 4, and a family was just seated at 5. Thanks. Layla grabbed the order from the heat lamp, a personal whole shebang, and headed toward 4, her mind in overdrive. She was tableside before she saw him. Seth Murphy recognized her at the same time. He pocketed his iPhone without taking his blue eyes off her. Layla, he said, in that deep voice of his. She tipped her chin up, set the pizza down, and didn't bother serving the first slice. Murphy, what was he doing here, at her station? Not that he had any way of knowing that. Don't you have a wedding to be at? She clamped her lips shut before anything else leaked out. He checked his watch, a casual number with a big face and lots of dials. Few hours. He opened his mouth again, then wisely shut it. She spun around to table 5 before he could ask her the same. She felt Murphy's eyes on her back as she took the order, making heat flood the back of her neck. She didn't run into him much, didn't exactly travel in the same circles. But when she did, it was awkward. No one knew better than Murphy how badly Jack had hurt her. And no one, save Jack and Jessica, was more responsible. She brought table 5 their drinks and delivered the bill to a couple squeezed into one side of a 2-seater booth. She briefly considered ignoring Murphy's empty glass, but her conscience kicked in. A minute later, she set down a fresh Mountain Dew and ripped the bill from the tab. Normally, she didn't leave it this early, but Murphy wasn't her normal customer. It was hard to be close to him again, to stay angry at him. Can I get you anything else? He leaned back against the red vinyl booth. The light from the overhead pendant washed over his features in a flattering way. He'd always reminded her of Ryan Gosling, especially when he wasn't wearing that infernal Murphy's Hardware cap. He opened his mouth and shut it again. She was so tired of being tiptoed around. By him. By everyone. She pulled herself to her full 5'6" and tossed her ponytail over her shoulder. Go ahead. He blinked. What? Go ahead and ask. His gaze dropped to the half-eaten slice on his plate. He hadn't shaved yet. The 5 o'clock shadow only made him more handsome. Layla? Yes, I'm going to the wedding. Yes, I'm over him. And yes, I'm happy for my cousin, That about cover it? His eyes drifted to hers again. It was all she could do to hold his gaze. He had a way of looking at her that made her feel like he was seen all the way inside. She hadn't seen that gaze since the summer they painted sets at the community theater. She'd liked it then. Now, not so much. I'm glad, he said. You deserve... He struggled to fill in the blank. She didn't need his take on that anyway. She slapped the bill face down. Have a nice afternoon, Murphy. Her heart was beating too fast as she spun away. Her legs trembled as she made her way to the kitchen. If seeing Murphy had this effect, what would tonight be like? Seeing Jack and Jessica exchanging vows, kissing, dancing? She didn't have time to worry about her feelings. She still needed a date, and the clock was ticking. She'd exhausted her contact list. She scanned the restaurant again as she carried out an order. A group of guys she didn't know had gathered around the pool table in the back room. Married couples and families filled the restaurant. She scanned the kitchen again. Three males. David, Cappy, and a man old enough to be her grandfather. Come on, God, a little help here. Her eyes fell on Murphy as she set down a medium pepperoni at the next table and began serving slices. No, absolutely not, for reasons too numerous to mention. She gave a mechanical smile to the couple and went for more refills. Maybe he was single, and yes, attractive, but he was also a friend of Jack's. She was surprised he wasn't in the wedding, but then Jessica had probably insisted that Jack choose her brothers. She looked out the tinted window to the snowy landscape. Fat snowflakes drifted to the white carpet. It was beautiful, she had to admit. Perfect day for a winter wedding. If things had gone differently, it might have been her day. A loud slurp drew her eyes to Murphy's table. He set his empty cup down and took another bite of his pizza. Fine, one more refill. A minute later, she set the drink on Murphy's table and turned to go. Layla, he touched her arm. Wait. His touch sent a jolt of something through her. His fingers still rested lightly there. She turned, raising her brows. Do you need a ride to the wedding? The roads are getting bad. She stared into his eyes. He had a way of catching her completely off guard. Always had. Even back when they'd been friends, back before she and Jack had gotten together. I mean, you probably have a date. I did. 2 hours ago. Cooper came down with strep. He scratched his neck. I'm going alone, so... Oh. Was this the answer? Was God sending her the most unlikely of lifelines? And the real question, was she really that desperate? Sadly, she knew the answer to that one. So, he said. She shifted her weight. Yeah, thanks. A ride would be great. Something flickered in his eyes, but it was gone before she could guess what it was. Pick you up at 5:30? Sure. Layla turned away before she could reconsider, before she could wonder why her knees were knocking too hard to hold her upright. Showing up at her ex-fiancé's wedding with Murphy was infinitely better than showing up alone, wasn't it? Chapter 2. Seth inched forward in the receiving line, glancing covertly at Layla. Her generous lips were set into a brittle smile. Her moss-green eyes flashed with some emotion. She hadn't so much as flinched during the ceremony. Maybe she really was over Jack. When they moved forward again, she stepped closer to him, tucking her hand into the crook of his elbow. He pulled her into his side, his heart shooting warning signals to his brain. This has nothing to do with you. Layla had hardly looked at him since they left Chapel Springs, except to shoot him disdainful looks. He couldn't seem to say anything right. Even when he'd complimented her appearance, and he'd meant every word, she twisted his words. They moved forward. Jack was now just inches away. Jack, his former best friend. They were still friends, but it wasn't the same. Jack had changed as he'd moved up in the world. The old Jack never would have treated a woman so callously. Murphy, Jack reached out for a one-arm hug. Thanks for coming, man. Congratulations, you two. The groom's eyes drifted to Layla, widening slightly at the sight of her on Seth's arm. He recovered quickly, leaning in for a shoulder hug. Layla, thank you for coming. As Layla pulled away from Jack, her hand tightened to a death grip on Seth's arm. Layla! Jessica greeted her cousin with a plastic smile and leaned in for a kiss that didn't quite meet Layla's cheek. Jess, congratulations. There was no sign of anxiety in her even tone. You look lovely. Thank you. It took forever to find this dress. Her eyes swept down Layla and back up again. Oh my gosh. I used to have a dress just like that. Mom finally gave it to Goodwill, but I just loved it. Seth inched away, tugging Layla with him. We should move on. We'll catch you at the reception. As soon as they rounded the corner, Layla pulled away. Her shoulders set, she walked stiffly, her heels clicking on the hallway tile. There was no sign of distress on her face, save her clenched jaw. "You're doing great," he said. She shot him a look as they exited the church and remained quiet on the ride to the reception, which was being held at an elegant hall a few miles away. After finding a table, Layla made the rounds with her family. Seth had offered to go with her, but got only a hard look in return. There was no question she blamed him for all this. But he'd never meant for it to happen. Would never have hurt Layla intentionally. It had started when he'd intercepted a call from Jessica, whose car had broken down on the highway. How could he possibly have known when he sent Jack after her where it would lead? And in the coming weeks, when Jack had mentioned Jessica in passing, he'd thought nothing of it. In retrospect, Seth could see he'd been a little slow on the uptake, and Layla blamed him for not warning her. Or maybe she blamed him for getting the ball rolling. Probably both. He watched her now, peeling away from her great aunts. Even with the fake smile, she was the most beautiful woman in the room, with her long dark hair, flawless skin, and wide green eyes. She was long-legged, with curves in all the right places. But that wasn't why she dug so deeply under his skin. No, it was her feisty spirit that drew him most. The way her eyes sparked with emotion, the way she stood up for herself and those she cared about. Layla was flat-out amazing. And Jessica knew it, too. That's why she jabbed at her cousin every chance she got. That comment in the receiving line had made him want to shake the spoiled woman. Watching Layla now, he had a feeling things hadn't gone any better with her aunts. She was finishing what appeared to be a pleasant conversation with her dad, her brother Beckett, and Beckett's fiancé Madison. A moment later, Layla passed by him, stopping at the open bar several feet away. "Mr. Malcolm, good to see you," she said. Stanley Malcolm extended his hand. "You too, Layla O'Reilly. I stopped into your office a while back." "Right, right. Nice to see you again." Layla had recently started staging homes for sale. Seth had heard good things about her decorating skills, but she was still part-time at Cappy's, so he wondered if she was struggling to get her business off the ground. Layla's body language exuded confidence as she spoke with Stanley. Good for her. Malcolm Realty specialized in the high-end historical homes in their region. Stanley could put her enterprise on the map. Layla handed him a business card, and he stuck it in the pocket of his suit coat. Daniel Dawson, the very young mayor of Chapel Springs, approached them, extending his hand to Stanley. The broker turned from Layla to give Daniel his full attention. Layla's smile fell away. Her hands floundered in the air a moment. "Hello, Seth." Marcia Marcourt appeared in front of him, blocking his view. He stood and shook her hand. "Mrs. Marcourt, good to see you. You haven't forgotten about Silent Night, have you?" "Of course not." In a weak moment this summer, she talked him into participating in the annual tour of homes the weekend before Christmas. "I can't wait to see what you come up with." She patted his shoulder. "Have a lovely evening." As she walked away, he wished for the dozenth time he turned her down. Decorating his old house was going to bite. He possessed exactly one box full of Christmas decorations and zero decorating skills. A commotion sounded at the front of room as the bride and groom made their entry. Layla returned to the table as the couple began their first dance. She said little to Seth through the toasts and dinner, chatting mostly with the others at the table. Beckett and Madison sat at Layla's other side, keeping her engaged. As soon as the orchestra struck up a tune, Madison dragged Beckett onto the dance floor. Layla continued picking at her food. A curly wisp of hair had come loose from her updo, kissing the side of her face. Seth longed to brush it behind her ear, to feel the silky smoothness of her skin under the pad of his thumb. He clenched his fist before he followed through and got his hand smacked away. He could only imagine what she was feeling. "This must be the longest night of her life. We can leave any time you want." She set her fork down. "We have to stay until they cut the cake. Must be some kind of rule." The band struck up a new tune, an old Frank Sinatra song. More couples headed to the floor. "Would you like to dance?" She arched a delicate brow. "With you?" He reached for his drink. "I'll take that as a no. Feel free to ask someone else, Murphy." He wasn't leaving her now, even if he wanted to dance with someone else. And he didn't. Jack and Jessica were making the rounds, only one table away now. He could tell Layla had noticed by the way she punished the napkin in her lap. "You can call me Seth, you know." She shrugged. "You used to." She used to do other things with him, too. Like laugh and touch and make small talk. "Jack always called you Murphy. I got used to it." The other two couples slid away from their table to join the growing throng on the dance floor. "So your house is in the tour of homes?" Layla asked a moment later. "How'd you?" "I overheard your conversation with Marcia." "Ah, yes. Unfortunately, I succumbed to the pressure." "Why unfortunately?" He gave her a wry smile. "I'm pretty clueless when it comes to decorating. I don't even have..." An idea occurred, a pretty brilliant one. You wouldn't be interested in helping me out. Her lips turned down. Her eyes dimmed as she turned away. I could pay you. Hey, cuz. Jessica sidled up beside them. The four of them reconnected, their greetings as artificially sweetened as a can of Diet Coke. So are you guys, together? Jack asked. Jessica swatted his shoulder. Oh, honey, I'm sure they're not actually together. Layla's not his type. Her implication was clear. Seth would never date a lowlife like Layla. Never mind that her groom had. Seth reached for Layla's hand, closing it around her clenched fist. Actually, we are. You don't mean dating. The disbelief on Jessica's face made Seth want to shake her again. His gaze toggled to Layla. Yes, dating. Jessica gave an unladylike snort and looked at Seth like he was missing a screw. Seriously? Jessica. That was Jack's lame attempt to rein in his bride. Layla's nose flared and her eyes flashed. Her lips parted. Seth knew that look. Engaged, actually. Layla's head spun toward him. Just recently, Seth said, leaning in conspiratorially. We haven't told anyone yet. A moment of silence was punctuated by the pain of Layla's nails digging into his palm. Jessica scowled, her eyes toggling between them and resting on Seth. You are not engaged. Wow. A genuine grin spread across Jack's face. Just, wow. Congratulations, guys. What a, wow. Jack, stop it, Jessica said. There's no way he's marrying Layla. The way she said Layla's name brought Seth an inch off his chair. Jessica's eyes narrowed. When? Her tone challenged. Christmas Eve. Pain radiated from his palm. That's so great, Jack said. Wow. Jessica's maid of honor approached and said something in her ear before walking away. Duty calls, Jessica said, looking between them with a frown marring her perfectly made-up face. Then she seemed to shake it off. It's cake-cutting time, baby. She planted a kiss on Jack's lips and gave Layla a syrupy smile. We'll chat later, cuz. Layla jerked her hand from Murphy's. What have you done? Murphy took a swig of his drink. His face gave nothing away. Maybe his eyes would, but he wouldn't look at her. And no wonder. He'd just announced their engagement to her ex-fiancé and the cousin he'd betrayed her with. Murphy, he set his drink down. A shadow flickered across his clean-shaven jaw. He ran his hand over his face. Finally, his eyes drifted to hers. I couldn't help it. You couldn't help it? She was being awful, and you were about to go off on her. Don't tell me you weren't. So you told them we're engaged? He flinched. I didn't mean for it to go that far. Well, it did. She didn't believe it. Well, he did. Hadn't Murphy seen Jack's big old smile? Heard the hearty congratulations? She'd never seen him so relieved. It'll blow over. Layla stared at him, speechless. Something like this did not blow over. Stop looking at me like that. Like you're crazy? Layla drew a deep breath, exhaled. She was vaguely aware of the activity around the cake table. Words being said into a mic. Laughter. Look, Murphy said, it was an impulse. I'm sorry. You gave them a wedding date. A wedding date that's less than 4 weeks away. I'm sorry. I'll fix it. How? I'll talk to him. I'll pull him aside when he's done up there. Explain. Explain that you felt sorry for me and were trying to make me look less pathetic? His eyes softened. Nobody thinks that. I'll tell him the truth. That Jessica set me off with her cosmetically engineered nose stuck up in the air like it always is. I don't think that's going to help. She took a sip of her drink. Though I'd like to see Jack's face when you say it. He looked at her, those blue eyes like a direct laser. I'll fix it, Layla. You have my word. And that's why we'd like to make one more toast this evening, Jack was saying into the mic. Layla half-heartedly turned her attention to the front of the room and the elaborate cake the bride and groom had just fed each other. Jack held up his glass, his eyes honing in on Layla and Murphy. Layla stopped breathing. A niggle of dread warmed up her spine and settled heavily in her throat. To my good friends, Murphy and Layla, happy engagement, you two. We're very happy for both of you. Chapter 3. The rumble of the engine cut through the silence inside the cab. Seth gave the Silverado some gas as he eased onto 65 North. Snow covered the road and traffic had slowed, but he drifted to the left lane and accelerated, the tension in the truck driving him faster. He was afraid to look at Layla. Could almost feel the steam coming off her. Once he uncapped the bottle, she was going to blow. He hadn't thought he could make things worse between them, but somehow he'd managed. They'd slipped from the reception hall shortly after the announcement. What else could they do? They had to figure out how to handle this. But so far, she was uncharacteristically speechless. Layla, listen, I know you're mad. You think? But I'll figure something out. Maybe we can just say it was a misunderstanding and my whole family was there. He let out a breath. Okay, let's think this through. Beckett and your dad are the only family who live in town. I'll call them tonight and don't forget Jessica. And what about Daniel, the town mayor, and Stanley Malcolm and his wife, and William and Francis Wellington? It was a flipping who's who of Chapel Springs in there. He scrubbed a hand over his face. I'll call them all tomorrow. I'll tell them it was a mistake, a misunderstanding, my fault. Tomorrow's Sunday. Everyone will be at church and the gossip will fly. She was probably right. Well, good news doesn't spread as fast, he offered. She gave a wry laugh. Are you kidding? You and me? This is the juiciest kind of gossip. She was so jaded. I'll call tonight. I'll stay up until I've reached everyone. And wake them? That'll make them happy. I don't care about them. He cared about her. More than she'd ever know. More than he'd ever admit. What good would it do? He dared a glance at her in the darkened cab. The glow of a streetlight streaked across her face, lighting her rigid features. There was something in her eyes. More than anger. She crossed her arms over her stomach, a protective gesture, and lifted her chin. Wasn't it bad enough she was looked down on for reasons beyond her control? Now she had to face another humiliation because he couldn't control his big mouth. You're an idiot, Seth. Layla white-knuckled the dashboard. Can you slow down, please? Relax, this isn't your car, it's a... What's that supposed to mean? He couldn't win with her. He sighed. It means it's a four-wheel drive, and it handles just fine in the snow. If you could just take that chip off your shoulder for 2 seconds. He remembered earlier when Stanley Malcolm had all but snubbed her, and he went a little soft inside. He eased off the gas. You have a pen and paper? What for? We have a list to make. Layla was shedding her dress when another text came in. Her brother had already blown up her phone. She hadn't responded yet. Didn't know what to say. She ignored the text and checked her email instead. A few had come in since she'd left home. Her eyes honed in on one from Stanley Malcolm. Layla, congratulations on your engagement. So glad we got the chance to speak about your business tonight. I'd like to meet you for lunch on Monday to continue our conversation. Why don't you bring your fiancé with you? Layla gaped at the words. He wanted to meet her for lunch. He hadn't seemed interested at the reception or the other time she'd spoken to him. She'd felt like a nuisance, but maybe he'd given it more thought, or maybe he was just standoffish by nature. She reread the email, smiling, then noticed the part about Murphy. Why would he ask her to bring him along? No doubt they ran in the same circles, but Layla frowned. Had her supposed engagement to Murphy somehow lifted her in Stanley's eyes? Made her worthy of his attention? She thought back to the 2 times she'd stopped into his office. The first time he'd spoken with her briefly, and she felt brushed off. The second she'd been told he was in a meeting. Their conversation earlier tonight had been pretty one-sided. He hadn't even glanced at her business card. He'd seemed only too eager to part ways when Daniel Dawson had approached. And now he suddenly wanted to have lunch, now that she was engaged to the wealthy and reputable Seth Murphy. She flung her dress onto the bed and jabbed her feet into her pajamas. She should be used to it by now. Still, it wasn't right. Her work should be taken at face value. She was good. She'd worked hard to earn her credentials. Her 4 clients had sold their homes quickly and had given her excellent references. She'd spent all her free time on her business, every spare dime on props. But there were always some people who couldn't let it go, couldn't see her for who she was, only where she'd come from. Never mind that her dad had gone through rehab and come out sober. Never mind that she now lived on the right side of the tracks. Barely. She picked up her phone and stared at the email, then scowled as she dug her phone book from the junk drawer in the kitchen. Seth couldn't have started making his calls yet, she hoped. Chapter 4. Seth spotted Layla in a darkened corner of the cafe and made his way to her. He blew on his cold hands as he wove between full tables. The snow had stopped sometime during the night, but the temperatures hadn't made it into the double digits yet this morning. After Layla's call last night, he'd hardly slept. She'd raised more questions than she'd answered. His mind had spun all night with the kind of restless hope that could only lead to heartache, but that didn't stop him from dreaming. He shrugged from his coat as he neared the booth. Judging by the shadows under Layla's eyes, he guessed she hadn't slept well either. But her eyes brightened at the sight of him. It was enough to give a guy a little hope. Morning. More like afternoon, she said. I overslept. Missed church. She squeezed a lemon into her water. I didn't go at all. Too many questions I'm not ready to answer. Speaking of questions, her eyes found his. Something he'd never seen flickered in the green depths. Uncertainty? Vulnerability? She looked away before he could decide. A waitress approached, and they quickly settled on the special. When she left, Seth tucked the menus behind the condiment caddy. "So what's this all about?" All she'd said last night was not to make those calls just yet. Layla plucked the salt shaker from the caddy and balanced it on its beveled edge. Her long, dark lashes swept down over her olive skin. She bit the inside of her lip, making it pucker. What he'd give for just one taste of those lips. He'd longed for the summer they'd worked together on the play. Back when she talked to him. Back when she laughed with him and touched him, however fleetingly. Back before his best friend had beaten him to the punch. Layla moved the shaker in circles. "I need a favor." "What is it?" Her eyes bounced off him, then focused on the salt shaker. "I got a text from Stanley Malcolm last night. He wants to meet me for lunch tomorrow to discuss doing some work for him." "That's great, Layla. Your networking paid off." He couldn't help feeling a little proud of her. "He wondered if you might like to come along." "To your business lunch?" He lifted a shoulder. "You want me to?" The salt shaker thwacked the table as it fell on its side. Grains of salt scattered. Layla set the shaker in the caddy and brushed the salt into a tidy pile with her long, slender fingers. "Here's the thing. I think his interest in superior staging hinges on something else. Like..." She nailed him with those big green eyes. When she looked at him like that, he'd do anything for her. Lunch? Yard work? Armed robbery? Like our being a couple. The server set down his OJ and bustled away, but Seth couldn't take his eyes off Layla's face, off the color blooming on her cheeks. "Come again?" Her fingers flittered around the salt pile, taking all her attention. "I've been thinking about it all night. He didn't give me the time of day until our engagement was announced. I think he sees our association, such as it is, like some kind of endorsement. If I'm good enough for you, I'm good enough for him, I guess." Her chin notched up. He didn't even like her thinking that way, much less anyone else. He frowned. "That's ridiculous." She lifted a shoulder. "Well, it's the truth. Otherwise, why the sudden change? He probably just wants to keep it friendly, comfortable for you." But Seth was never going to change Layla's mind. And why should he? Another hour with her was another hour. "Sure, I'll go. No problem. That's not all." She swallowed hard, turned a sheepish look on him. "I might need you to, hold off on breaking our engagement." He turned his head to the side, eyeing her. "Hold off? Just until I..." She swept the salt off the table and curled her arms over her stomach. "Look, I need to get my business off the ground. I need a realty group to hire me, and there's none more prestigious than Malcolm's. He specializes in the big stuff, the fancy historical homes and Riverside estates. I bought my home 2 years ago from one of his agents. So you know what I'm talking about. The house is going to work. People will think we're..." "Just for a little while. If the lunch goes well and he hires me, I'll be able to show him what I can do. Once he sees my work, he'll be satisfied." There was nothing he'd like more than an extended fake engagement, unless it was a real one. How much time would this give him? He remembered the hardened look on her face when she'd first spotted him in Cappy's yesterday. "Not nearly long enough, Seth." "Maybe only a few days," Layla said. "I mean, once he gives me an assignment, I'll get right on it. He'll give me a contract and poof, engagement over." "Nice." A few days wouldn't buy him nearly enough time. A few years was probably pushing it. And after the lunch, there'd be no need for her to come around. He needed to leverage this somehow. This was his chance to make things right, earn her trust, maybe even see if someday she could feel the same for him. Layla's eyes darkened. Her arms shifted, crossing higher over her chest. She leaned into the table, her eyes sparking. "Look, you got us into this mess. The least you can do is this tiny little favor." Favor. An idea formed in his head. One that would keep Layla around a while, maybe long enough to shift things between them. Only sheer willpower kept a triumphant smile from forming on his lips. "Okay, then," he said. "I'll make you a deal." She pressed her lips together, narrowed her eyes. Her trust in him was overwhelming. "What kind of deal? Remember when we talked about the tour of homes last night? I really could use your help." "How much help?" He shrugged. "I'll do the heavy lifting. In other words, all of it. Do you have any idea how many hours a project like that takes? I think you're forgetting that you already owe me." She didn't have to spell out all the reasons why. "Think of your portfolio. Decorating a home for the tour is prestigious. People come from all over the region, and they'd see your work." He was making this up as he went, loving that it was a win-win. She leaned back, considering. "You can even put up signage and leave business cards. No telling how much work you could get off this alone." She took a sip of her water, rearranged her silverware. "Do you have the decorations? I don't have any Christmas props." He wasn't going to mention the mildewed cardboard box in his attic. "I'll buy whatever you need. You have any idea how much that's going to cost? I own a hardware store. I'll get everything wholesale. What do you say? She cocked her head, regarding him. You don't have a girlfriend who's going to pitch a fit about this? He lifted his shoulders. Free as a bird. And you'll hang with me, even if it takes more than a few days? As long as it takes. She regarded him steadily, quietly, for so long that Seth was about to explode before she finally extended her hand across the table. Fine. It's a deal. Chapter 5. Stanley Malcolm was somewhere in his 50s, slender, with thinning gray hair. His winter white skin creased around his eyes when he managed a smile, calling attention to his hazel eyes. Layla bit into her club sandwich, barely tasting it as she listened to Stanley's monologue on the housing market. In the background, a soothing rendition of White Christmas played over the restaurant's speakers, mingling with the clinking of silverware and the buzz of idle chatter. Her nerves were already shot, and they hadn't even discussed her working with Malcolm Realty. Stanley was leading up to it in a slow, methodical way that was about to send her over the edge. Beside her in the booth, Murphy finished off his BLT. He'd been quiet once the greetings and congratulations were out of the way. His jean-clad thigh pressed against hers, making her too warm. She wished she could ditch the suit coat, but the sleeves of her blouse were frayed. So you're new to the staging business, Layla? Stanley pushed his salad plate back. The server removed it before he could lean back in the booth. Technically, I opened in October, but I staged a few homes before that. They'd been friends' homes, and payment had been pizza and chocolate, but he didn't need to know that. The four homes I've done since opening have sold within 2 months. He gave her a nod. That's impressive in this market. She presented him with the statistics on staged homes, adding that it increased the value by 3 to 4,000, in effect paying for itself. After viewing the chart, he handed it back to her. I'm intrigued. Have you a portfolio I can see? Actually, I have photos with me. She pulled her iPad from her bag. The expenditure for the tablet had been painful, but now she was thinking it was worth every penny. She opened the photos and slid the iPad toward him, making an effort to breathe deeply. Stanley swiped through the photos, nodding appreciatively at a couple. She wished the homes had been nicer. They were nowhere near the price range of most Malcolm homes. You're so talented, baby. Murphy edged closer, wrapping an arm around her. She barely refrained from elbowing him in the gut. Thank you, Murph. She blinked innocently, using the nickname he hated. Layla sipped her water, trying to hide her trembling fingers. Never mind that Stanley held her future in his hands. Never mind that he could make or break her business with the next words he uttered. His business would keep her busy year-round. No more scrimping, no more cappies, no more cheapest apartment on the good side of town. She could buy a house of her own. She could do what she loved full-time. She could finally make a good name for herself. A few minutes later, Stanley handed the tablet back, his thin lips turned up in an almost smile. I like what I see here, Layla. Yes, her heart felt like it buzzed with caffeine. Thank you. Come on, Stanley, make me an offer. She was so close. I'd love to work together. A frown puckered between his brows. She wondered if he was thinking of her father, of her lack of a college degree. I'm a hard worker, and I'm dependable. I can get you references if you'd like. My clients were more than satisfied. The server came and removed the remainder of their plates. After they refused dessert, he left the bill. Stanley set down his credit card, and an instant later it was removed. My only qualm at this point is your lack of experience. Are you prepared to stage larger homes? Historicals? They require a different touch. I understand. Historicals have a certain authentic appeal. My strategy is to enhance the natural character of older homes. In fact, I'm starting work on a historical this week. I'm staging Murphy's home for the Silent Night Tour of Homes. His eyebrows ticked up. Very nice. Murphy squeezed her shoulder. Only the best. Layla called upon her theater skills, trading a loving smile with Murphy. That'll give me the perfect opportunity to see what you can do, Stanley said. See what she could do. The tour was almost 3 weeks away. She couldn't keep up this engagement that long. It had been all she could do to avoid her brother for a day and a half. Layla worked to keep the smile on her face. I'd be happy to give you a free sample with one of your existing homes. That won't be necessary. Stanley signed the credit card slip and tucked the credit card back in his wallet. I'm sure you'll have your hands full with Seth's home. He took his coat and slid from the booth. I'm afraid I have a 1 o'clock, so I have to run. Layla shook his hand. Thank you so much for lunch and for the opportunity. I look forward to seeing what you can do, Layla. He took Murphy's hand. Always good to see you, Seth. We should set up a tea time once all this winter muck clears away. I sure miss playing with your father. He was a heck of a golfer. That he was. Let's do it. Only when Stanley had slipped out the door did Layla let the smile fall from her face. She tried to tell herself it had gone well. He liked her portfolio. He was going to give her a chance. But she'd hoped to walk away with a contract. How could she maintain this engagement charade for almost 3 weeks? Word had already spread. She'd hoped to get this squared away today. She had a dozen unanswered texts and 4 missed calls. She couldn't avoid them forever. Murphy squeezed her shoulder. Come on now, it went well. She shrugged his hand away. This hinges on the tour now, Murphy. You'll knock it out of the park and get the contract. She nailed him with a look. It also hinges on our engagement. He shrugged. So we ride it out a little while. We're supposed to be getting married in 3 weeks. It's going to look pretty suspicious when the invitations don't go out and no one gets asked to be in the wedding party. I'm fine with a small wedding. She jabbed him in the ribs, her elbow meeting a set of taut muscles. He let out a grunt. Why wasn't he the least bit concerned? She was glad her mom's side of the family was far away in Louisville, and she didn't have to worry about Jack and Jessica until they returned from their honeymoon. There was another pleasant thought. Jessica would stir it all up. She wasn't happy unless she was making trouble. Wasn't it enough that she'd stolen Layla's fiancé? And what was Layla going to tell Beckett? This wasn't going to work. I can't lie to my brother. They'd been through too much together. She didn't want to lie to her friends, either. And she couldn't tell them the truth for fear it would get back to Stanley. If he found out they'd faked the engagement, he'd never hire her. Hey, Murphy hooked a finger under her chin and turned her head until her eyes caught in his. It's going to be fine. It's just a few weeks. Tell your brother the truth. He won't say anything. As for everyone else, it'll mostly just be putting up with a bunch of congratulations. Say thanks and move on. Mostly you'll be holed up at my place stringing lights and draping green stuff. Garlands, she said absently. That was true. She'd be busy. Maybe she could even cut her hours at Cappy's so she could focus on Murphy's house, not to mention avoid the general public. Financially, it would be a challenge, but she knew how to stretch a dime. She looked into his blue eyes, noticing subtle flecks of silver. They were nice eyes. Really nice. He had a fringe of dark lashes that would make most women jealous. You think so? When he tweaked her chin, she wasn't even tempted to swat his hand away. Piece of cake. Chapter 6. Layla opened her front door to find her brother scowling on the stoop. She should have called him after lunch, but she wanted to scope out Murphy's house and start a list of supplies. I can explain, she said by way of greeting. By all means. Beckett edged past her into the living room. At least he hadn't brought Madison. This was embarrassing enough. She just hoped he could keep it to himself. He followed her a few steps into her galley kitchen, where she gave the boiling pasta a stir. Have you eaten? She asked. I'm going to Madison's for dinner. What's this about you and Seth Murphy, Layla? She really didn't want to start there. I'll explain in a minute, but first I have good news. Beckett leaned across the counter and crossed his bulky arms, frowning. So you know it's been an uphill battle, getting my business off the ground. Well, I've been able to make some inroads with Stanley Malcolm. He's the man who... I know who he is. He approached me about building a boat a few weeks ago. Oh, nice. Well, anyway, we talked at the reception Saturday and had lunch again today. He really liked my portfolio. There's a good chance he'll hire me to stage his homes. She injected enthusiasm into her voice. You know what that means? Beckett's frown relaxed. That's great, little girl. I'll be able to quit Cappy's. Not only would I get to stage full-time, but I'd be doing some of the area's most upscale homes. Can you believe it? One corner of Beckett's mouth tipped up. Yeah, I can. He wasn't much on words, but Beckett had always been there for her, believed in her. He stirred the spaghetti sauce. Want me to ask Madison's dad to put in a good word for you? Mr. McKinley? They're good friends. Stanley goes to our church. Layla bit the inside of her lip. This was too close for comfort. If she told Beckett the engagement wasn't real, and he told Madison, was it even fair to ask him to keep secrets from his fiancé? He hated secrets. One had nearly come between him and Madison. He wouldn't keep another from her, not after that. And if Madison knew the truth, how long before the other McKinleys knew, before her father found out, before it made its way back to Stanley? So, Beckett said, you and Seth. Layla gave the spaghetti another stir. Think, Layla. Could she afford to tell the whole truth? We met at the theater 2 summers ago, remember? I helped do the sets for Nightingale. I remember. I also remember you started going out with Seth's best friend, and I have a vague recollection of another engagement in there somewhere. He lifted the big spoon to his mouth, tasting the sauce. She swatted his arm and snatched the spoon. Thanks for the refresher. I was getting to all that if you'd just be patient and give her time to figure this out. You've pretty much exhausted my patience over the past 2 days. She fished in the cabinet for a strainer. So, anyway, we kind of connected at the theater. He He made me laugh, was easy to talk to, and he treated me, I don't know, as an equal. All true. You are an equal. You know what I mean. She came up with the strainer and set it in the sink. I was, you know, attracted to him. Unfortunately, also true. But then Jack asked me out. It was when I was working at the Quick Spin and he'd come in weekly for his dry cleaning and flirt a little. She shrugged. When he asked me out, I said yes. I didn't know he and Murphy were best friends. And once you went out with Jack, Seth backed off. Of course. Then there was the engagement. And Jessica came between you with a little help from Seth. Layla snapped up tall. A little help? He practically threw her in Jack's lap. Beckett arched a brow. Okay, so she was a little bitter. Better rein it in a little. He was her fiancé now, after all. Layla poured the cooked spaghetti into the strainer. Water under the bridge. I've forgiven him. She flinched under the stream at the untruth. Beckett gave the sauce a stir. Glad to hear it. I always thought the blame was a little misplaced. Layla bit the inside of her lip. Hard. I guess your relationship with Seth was a little sensitive with Jack and all. Still, why didn't you tell me? I'm your brother. Layla turned off the heat and looked up at Beckett. Strong, sturdy Beckett, who'd always been there for her. While their father had been out finding his next buzz, her brother had attended her volleyball games and cheered her on at track meets. He was the one person she could always count on. I can't do this, she said. Can't do what? It's not real. The engagement's a farce. Beckett frowned. What are you talking about? She explained the situation with Stanley and how the engagement, which really wasn't an engagement at all, had become a game changer. She tried her best to talk him over to her side, but the longer she talked, the deeper his scowl grew. I know, she blurted before he said anything. But it's just for a little while. She shot him a pleading look. You think you could not mention any of this to Madison? He crossed his arms. I'm not keeping secrets from my fiancé. Layla slouched. She'd figured as much. All right, I get it. But can you at least swear her to secrecy? If this gets back to Stanley, I'll be working at Cappy's until I retire. His scowl let up a smidge. Fine. But this isn't going to be as easy as you think. Dad's wanting us all to get together Friday. He wants to make sure Seth's good enough for you. Now he decides to be a dad. She sighed. Since her father had gone through rehab, he was like a different man. But she never knew what to expect from him. She distrusted him for too many years to take a chance like that. Better late than never. Fine, I'll check with Murphy, but you can't tell Dad. All right, but I hope you know what you're doing. Me too, she said as she gave the sauce another stir. Where do you want these? Seth shifted the boxes of white Christmas lights in his arms. Layla looked small standing in front of the grand fireplace in her fitted jeans and fuzzy red sweater. He could get used to seeing her in his home. Just set them anywhere, she said without turning. He set the boxes by the mounds of fresh greenery in the middle of the room. The place already smelled like Christmas. She'd given him a list last night, saying she'd like to start in the morning. He'd never seen anyone in such a hurry to break an engagement. Do you have some Christmas catalogs I can look at? She asked. Sure, back at the store. She turned to him, her dark hair tumbling over her shoulder. What kind of budget are we on? Spend what you need to. I'm not worried about it. This could get expensive. He wasn't going to let a few dollars come between her and her dream job. This is your time to shine. Besides, I'll probably get suckered into doing the tour again next year. Her eyes sparkled with excitement. She glanced around the room. She may not have wanted this job, but she was in her element now. Seemed almost giddy at the work in front of her. It's in great shape, she said. I refurbished it after I moved in. He'd painted the walls in the rich tones popular for the era. Removing the layers of paint from the trim and chair rail had taken months, but now the oak gleamed with a honey-colored stain. The wood floors had been another time-consuming challenge, but worth the work, especially now. I'm glad you used authentic colors. I love the high ceilings and molded tiles. And the draperies are perfect. They came with the house. Even the furnishings are perfect. Antique, but still masculine. I didn't know what I'd have to work with. Most of it came from Grandma's attic. He hadn't sacrificed the modern amenities, though. The sofas were new. They blended with the style, but were built with comfort in mind. He also had a sweet audiovisual system hidden away in the vintage entertainment center. I know it's kind of bare. I'm not much on the doodads, and you might have to move stuff around to make it look better. She shrugged. That's fine. It's part of what I do. Take something ordinary and make it special. He let his gaze roam over her. It's already pretty special. She looked away, a blush blooming on her cheeks. The floorboards gave a squeak as she moved across the room. I'm just glad I'll be able to use the theme I wanted, which is an old-fashioned Christmas. I want the decorations to be simple, organic. She meandered over to the built-in bay that faced the street. The tree will go here, maybe 8 foot, decorated with strung popcorn, old-fashioned ornaments, and candles. Not too big, though. It's not the focal point. What is, then? She turned. The fireplace. Floor to ceiling. It was unarguably the room's main event. I'm going to put an old sled up there, she pointed over the mantel. A pair of skates draped here, some greenery to dress it up, a nice fat garland running across the mantel with candles and homemade stockings hanging down. A cozy fire crackling. She turned to him. It's a working fireplace? Yeah. He would have paid to see the smile that lit her face. Perfect. And then the smile slid away as she seemed to remember who she was talking to. She looked away, kneeling on the rug, and began picking through the boxes from the store. I have a couple of empty rooms upstairs. I saw them. I thought I'd ask Madison's mom if I can borrow some things from Grandma's attic. Good idea. She picked up her iPad and made some notes. Seth shifted on his feet. Guess I should get back to work. No reason for me to hang around. Is there? No, I'm good, she said, without looking up from her tablet. He remembered the way it used to be between them, the way conversation had flowed like the river, the way she'd touch him on the arm as she laughed. Now there was a cold shoulder wedged between them. She set down the pad and sorted through the fresh evergreens, stirring up smells of Christmas past. Maybe he should address the elephant in the room. Otherwise, it was going to be a long 3 weeks. Besides, how could he hope to win her over unless she forgave him? He cleared his throat. Layla, I'm really sorry about my part in what happened between you and Jack. Her hands stopped, the garland draped between her arms. He watched her face for some signal, but got nothing. I never saw Jessica as a potential threat, he said. I don't want to talk about it. She tossed her hair over her shoulder, set the greenery aside, and began picking at the berries on a wreath. She was your cousin. Why would he want her when he had you? She fixed him with a look. I said I don't want to talk about it. Why couldn't she see he hadn't meant any harm? That if Jack couldn't see what he'd lost, he wasn't worth the tears. Seth just wanted her forgiveness, but he could see that wasn't going to happen. We're going to be together a lot the next few weeks. Can we at least call a truce? Her lips pressed together. She went back to the wreath, her slender fingers working the sprigs of evergreen and the pine cones. Maybe you're not ready to forgive me. Okay, but can we put the past aside for a while? If memory serves, we got along pretty well before all this happened. Her hands paused. Her eyes dropped to the floor. He knew she was remembering those long nights working on the sets, laughing, teasing, flirting. Man, he missed those days. For the 100th time, he wanted to slap himself for waiting too long. Fine. We'll put it aside. He let out the breath he didn't know he'd been holding. Thanks. That'll make this a lot more pleasant for the both of us. A text came in from an employee. Seth replied and pocketed his phone. Have you told your brother yet? Yeah. And he's going to tell Madison. She explained about Mr. McKinley's connection with Stanley and her fear that it would get back to him. Beckett, Madison, and my dad want to get together Friday for dinner or something. Sounds good. Two tiny crescents appeared between her brows. You know what that means. Going out in public together. A whole evening of pretending. My dad'll probably give you the third degree. No, I'm going to put it off. We're supposed to get married in 3 weeks, right after the tour of homes. He's not going to put it off. Well, what do you suggest? Let's invite them here for dinner. I'll cook. Keep it private, at least. I won't be anywhere near done by then. The house will be a mess. He shrugged. Your call, but I make a mean lasagna. It's your favorite, right? She bit her lips, her eyes drifting around the room before settling on him again. All right, but don't say I didn't warn you. Chapter 7. How did we get sucked into this? Layla finished lacing her ice skate and tied a bow. Beckett and Madison were already gliding around the frozen pond in the center of the town square. Dad was bumbling around the edge of the ice. What? Murphy said. It'll be fun. I can't remember the last time I went ice skating. She picked at the knot on her other skate. Fat flakes of snow drifted down, settling on her hair and on the backs of her bare hands, making them stiff and clumsy. And the stupid knot wouldn't budge. I'm freezing, Murphy. I can't even work out this knot. Here, let me. He knelt in front of her. She was tempted to refuse his help, but what the heck? Let him do it. Her nerves were frayed from the long dinner, from the third degree, and she hadn't even been the recipient. It was a side of her dad she hadn't seen before. She watched Madison and Beckett skating hand in hand. Madison lost her footing. Beckett caught her by the elbow, and they spun awkwardly until they came to a standstill, laughing. Nearby, Dad's arms windmilled before he steadied himself. You think he suspects anything? Layla asked. Murphy had loosened the knot and had her boot halfway laced. "Nope. Layla, you need to relax. Let's just go out there and have fun, okay?" A second later, he tied a bow and patted her skate. The music was nice, an upbeat Christmas tune. White lights twinkled from nearby pine trees, dancing in the breeze. And though it was snowing, it wasn't all that cold. He held out her gloves, and she stuffed her hands inside them. He gave her a hand up. "Come on." They skated side by side around the rink with a couple dozen others, mostly strangers. Layla was glad for that. The fewer people they knew, the better. A while later, Beckett and Madison joined them. They talked about her progress on the house. Dad skated up to them a little steadier now that he'd practiced. "How are the wedding plans going?" he asked Layla. "I don't know how you're finding time, what with staging the house and working at Cappy's. Sometimes wedding planning seems like a full-time job," Madison said. Guilt pricked Layla. She couldn't wait for this night to end. "We're keeping it very simple, and I'm helping with whatever she needs," Murphy said. "Hey, man," Beckett said, "you're making me look bad." Madison elbowed her fiancé, trading a mock scowl. "Yes, some people can't make a simple phone call." "I keep getting voicemail," Beckett said. "Are you sure Christmas Eve's a good idea?" Dad asked. "A lot of people have family plans." "We want to keep it small anyway," Layla said. "So small no one would be there." "You don't have a ring yet?" Dad must have noticed over dinner. Murphy turned backward and skated in front of Layla. He took her gloved hands, holding eye contact. "We haven't found the right one yet, have we, baby?" Murphy's cheeks were flushed, the tip of his nose red. Fog plumed in front of his face with each breath, and his blue eyes sparkled under the lighting. A fat flake landed on his eyelashes. Layla unconsciously reached out and wiped it away with her gloved thumb. The look in his eyes shifted. She couldn't break away from his gaze. His hand tightened around hers. Suddenly, she felt warm. Too many layers. She needed to ditch the scarf. Maybe the coat. What was wrong with her? "You guys are cute together," Madison said. Layla tore her eyes from Murphy. Her cheeks went warm under his stare. "When did you realize you loved my girl, Seth?" Dad asked. Layla stiffened. "Change the subject." Her thoughts spun for a topic and came up empty. Her eyes flew to Murphy. "It was at Cappy's, actually," Murphy said. Layla frowned at him. What was he doing? "At Cappy's?" Madison said. "I was watching her work. She was waiting on the table next to mine, and the customer said something that made her laugh." His eyes held her hostage. "I thought, I could listen to that sound for the rest of my life." Layla's breath caught. His breath plumed between them on an exhale. He'd been wasting his time on the sets. The guy should have had the lead role. "That's sweet," Madison said. Layla could feel her eyes on them. How was he doing this? Making stuff up off the cuff like that? Looking at her like she held his world in her hands? Wasn't this getting to him at all? Dad was eating it all up, and it was lies. All of it. She had to get away from this. From them. "I need a break. My ankles." Layla pulled her hands from Murphy's and skated toward the bench. She was shaking and wasn't sure why. The stress of pretending? The look in Murphy's eyes? So disconcerting. She wanted this night to be over. She wanted to flop into bed and pull the quilt over her head and pretend none of this was happening. But they'd only been here 15 minutes. On the shore, she passed the first bench and headed toward the one farther back in the shadows, shuffling along the frozen ground. Her heart pounded and her limbs quaked. She just wanted to hide for a while. She didn't want to face Dad and his questions, or Beckett and Madison and their knowing eyes. She couldn't sit, even when she reached the bench, even though her ankles throbbed. She perched on the seat back, facing away from the ice, glad for the cover of darkness. The strains of "Santa Baby" floated through the air, suddenly cooler in the shadows of the night. Overhead, skeletal branches stretched across the darkened sky like icy fingers. In the distance, someone laughed, and she remembered what Murphy had said, about realizing he loved her, about wanting to hear her laughter for the rest of his life. "You okay?" She jumped at the sound of his voice, so close. "No, I'm not okay." He stood in front of her, his face too shadowed to read. "I can't stand this anymore. I'm lying to my father, and our friends think we're planning a wedding, but we aren't, and someone's going to figure that out. And even if they don't, how are we going to get out of this when it's over?" Her voice rose as she went. He set his hands on her shoulders. "Come on, baby, you've got to pull it together." She shrugged his hands off. "What's with the baby stuff?" She didn't like it, and she didn't want to think too hard about why. "Just hang in there a while longer. We can't quit now. There's too much at stake." Like her whole career. If they called off the engagement now, Stanley Malcolm would probably drop her like a hot potato, even if she staged Murphy's home like the Biltmore Mansion. How can you stand this? How can you field questions and look all swoony and do it with a straight face? He stilled and didn't speak for so long she was ready to shake the answer out of him. She regretted the shadows now because she couldn't see his eyes and didn't have a clue what he was thinking. But she could feel his tension in the rigid way he held himself, could hear the stress of his shallow breaths. "It's easy," he said, so softly she strained to hear. The last notes of the song rang out, fading into the night. Only her heartbeat, thumping hard and heavy, punctuated the silence. "I just tell the truth," he whispered. A soft, soulful tune began. The strains of the violins wove around them, casting a sweet spell. Layla couldn't breathe, couldn't move. Murphy turned and walked away, leaving her to stare after him. Chapter 8. Layla took the porch steps, careful of the slippery spots. Murphy's neighborhood was quiet on this Saturday morning. A dusting of snow covered the ground, and the chill in the air burned her lungs. She stifled a yawn as she slid the key into the lock. She'd stared at the darkened ceiling half the night, wondering about what Murphy had said, turning the comment every which way. And every way she turned it, she ended up with the same view. Murphy had feelings for her. She couldn't believe he might love her, though his answer to Dad's question suggested otherwise. And she definitely wasn't about to address the subject with him. Last night had been awkward enough. Today she anticipated a much-needed break from him. He'd be at the hardware store, and she'd be off to work at Cappy's before he returned. The thought of a pleasant morning doing what she loved put a spring in her step as she entered the quiet house. She closed the door, shutting out the cold, and loosened her scarf. Murphy emerged from the kitchen. Layla jumped, palming her heart. Her eyes took stock. Pajama bottoms, dark skin, rippling muscles. There was a mug of coffee involved somewhere. She spun around under the guise of hanging her coat. "Why aren't you at work?" "I don't work Saturdays. What are you doing here?" She tossed a look over her shoulder. "I do." Even facing the other way, she could still see him. She closed her eyes against the picture. She was kidding herself. She'd never erase that image from her brain. Broad shoulders, sculpted chest, muscular arms. Nope, it was there for good. "It's Saturday," he said. "I didn't think you'd be here so early. I have to be at Cappy's at 2. "Ah, cup of coffee?" "Sure, thanks." Anything to get him out of the room. A set of clothes wouldn't hurt either. Who knew he was hiding all that under those flannel shirts? A few minutes later, he returned with a mug. She kept her eyes on the brew, caramel-colored, just the way she liked it. "Thanks. You have a ladder somewhere?" "In the garage. I'll get it before I hop in the shower." "No hurry. Take your shower first." She was in the library when he returned with the ladder. "Where do you want it?" "Right there." She pointed to the strip of oak paneling between the tall bookshelves, then put the finishing touches on the wreath. "Can I help?" "Hold this." She handed him the wreath as she climbed the ladder. It wobbled on the hardwood floor. "I guess the floor's not level. Part of the old house charm." At the top, she stretched high, reaching for the bottom of the picture hanging on the wall, then handed it down to him. The ladder wobbled as they swapped pieces. She grabbed onto the sides, but it wobbled again. When she looked down at Murphy, he wore a roguish smile, and his eyes held a mischievous sparkle. "Stop that," she said. "What?" "It was you." "I don't know what you're talking about." She spared him a look and climbed to the highest safe rung, hoping he had the good sense not to fool with the ladder anymore. The wreath wasn't heavy, but it was awkward. She tried to hook it on the nail that had held the picture. Missed. She rose on her toes, just out of reach. She breathed a laugh. Sheesh. After another try, she lowered her arms for a rest. The ladder moved. "Stop it." She steadied herself, then realized the ladder wasn't wobbling. It was vibrating as Murphy climbed up behind her. "What are you doing?" "Helping." She tightened her grip. "Get down, it isn't safe." "This is the heaviest duty ladder I sell. Since neither of us weighs 300 pounds, it'll be fine." He stopped behind her, the ladder stilling. The warmth of his chest pressed against her back. The clean, musky scent of his soap teased her nose. Her throat went dry. Her heart flittered around her chest like flurries in a snowstorm. He took the wreath, leaning closer, reaching higher. His thighs pressed against hers. His breath stirred the hairs at her temple. A shiver skated down her spine. Her legs trembled, and she braced a hand against the wall. "This is Murphy, Layla, remember? The guy who practically threw Jessica at Jack? The guy who didn't bother mentioning that your fiancé was hooking up with your cousin?" Even as the thought surfaced, Beckett's words came back to her. Had she blown Murphy's role out of proportion? her thoughts tangled into a snarly knot. Murphy settled the wreath against the wall and leaned back, infinitesimally. "That where you want it?" His lips were inches from her ear. If she turned her head just a bit. "What the heck, Layla?" She gave the wreath a cursory glance. "Yeah." She didn't care if it was upside down, backward, and flourishing with a moldy infestation. "Can you get down already? You seem a little tense," his tone teased. Did he know the effect he was having on her? "You're shaking the ladder, and your weight is straining the capacity." Her fingers pressed against the wall, going white against the oak paneling. "Have it your way." He leaned in, his lips close enough to brush her hair. "Let me know if you need any more help." Layla was exhausted by the time dinner rush ended. It had been a busy night. A caroling group had stopped in, taking the whole back room, and the restaurant was short-staffed. Earlier, during the slow hours, she'd experimented with the tables, moving them around to allow for better flow. She loved the new look. Cappy hated it, though, so she'd had to move it all back. Now her station had cleared out, and she helped David by bussing a couple of tables. On her way past the door, she saw Cooper by the hostess stand, brushing the snow from his brown curls. She hadn't seen him since he'd weaseled out of the wedding. And look where that had gotten her. "Be nice. It's not his fault." "Hey there. Feeling better?" "Not as good as you, apparently." His crooked smile and brown eyes teased. So he'd heard about the engagement. She reconsidered her plan, giving him a pointed look. "Table for one?" "Yep." She led him to a window booth, wondering how she was going to explain why she'd had a date planned with Cooper on the same night she'd turned up engaged. Cooper slid into the booth, stretched out his long legs, and leveled his gaze at her. "So you gonna explain yourself, young lady?" Layla notched up her chin. "Nope. Pepsi?" He leveled a look at her. "That'll do. For now." She took her time with the drink, hoping he wouldn't press hard. She could always just refuse to answer. They were friends, but not the spill-your-guts type. Layla didn't have any friends of that sort. Having been raised with a father, a grandfather, and a brother, she'd grown up accustomed to men and their ways. She returned to Cooper's table with the Pepsi. "Decide what you want?" Cooper cocked his head, gave her a half grin. "I want to know how a last-minute date turns into a spontaneous engagement." She gave him a sassy look. "Yeah, well, I want a high salary and a mansion on Main Street, but we can't all have what we want, can we?" "So you're not going to talk, huh?" "Only about pizza. You know everyone else is talking about it." Her stomach tightened at his words, but she kept a nonchalant smile. "About pizza?" He chuckled, tugging the hem of her polo. "Fine, be mysterious. I'll get it out of you eventually." "Good luck with that." "I don't need luck." He wiggled his fingers. "I got magic hands." She gave in and laughed. "Which aren't coming anywhere near me, buddy." She raised her order pad, pen poised. "Did you just come to annoy me, or are you actually going to order something?" "All right, all right." He frowned down at the menu. "Women," he muttered. After taking his order, Layla headed toward the kitchen, spotting Murphy at a booth on the other side of the room. She couldn't miss his scowl. "Great." She hung the order, and when she spun around, he was right behind her. She stopped just short of slamming into his chest. His hands curled around her upper arms. "Can I talk to you?" "I'm working," she said quietly, aware of the eyes on them. He was blocking her path. He didn't seem inclined to let go. His eyes impaled hers. She huffed. "Fine." She led him down the darkened hall toward the restrooms and break room. She talked to Cappy so many times about taking the paneling down. The whole place needed brightening. When they reached the end, she turned, raising her eyebrows expectantly. He planted his feet and crossed his arms. "You shouldn't be flirting with other guys." "What?" "I wasn't. I was just talking and laughing and tossing your hair, otherwise known as flirting." "Of all the nerve." "I was not. Who do you think you are?" He leaned in, driving his point home. "Your fiancé." She lowered her voice. "In case it got past your radar, we're not actually engaged." His mouth tightened. A shadow flickered across his jaw. "But everyone thinks we are, and if they see you flirting with every Y chromosome that struts by, nobody's going to..." "He's a friend, Murphy. I have lots of male friends, and I do not flirt with them. And even if I did, none of your business, pal, fake engagement or no. Now, if you want a pizza, I suggest you find your table. We close in 30 minutes. Seth watched Layla sashay away, his blood pounding in his ears. He wanted to grab Cooper from his booth by his shirt collar and toss him to the curb. He ran a hand over his mouth, making an effort to calm down. Fact was, Layla was right. They weren't actually engaged. He had no real claim to her, no right to be jealous. But that didn't change the fact that he was, or the fact that she was so deep under his skin now, he was never going to get her out. He pounded the paneled wall with his closed fist. A black and white picture of a younger Cappy tossing pizza dough wobbled against the wall. His emotions were wagging him from one side to the other. Earlier today, with Layla pressed against him on the ladder, he'd been content, hopeful. It was clear his nearness had rattled her. Maybe it was only physical attraction, but it was a start. He could work with that. Now he wanted to put his fist through the wall. The woman was driving him crazy, and time was ticking. He had 2 weeks to make this happen, and he was starting to think he was in major need of a Christmas miracle. Chapter 9. Layla rooted through the bag of supplies. Where was the burlap? She'd seen it a few days ago, and now it was nowhere to be found. She tossed the bag to the ground, suppressing a growl. Nothing had gone right today. The nursery furniture for the spare room had arrived. Everything had to be taken apart and put back together to get through the door. It had taken almost 2 hours. She'd broken Murphy's 4-year chandelier while hanging evergreen boughs, and she was pretty sure the piece was irreplaceable. The garden center sent white poinsettias instead of the red ones she'd ordered, and they weren't sure how long it would take to get the right ones. At least things were better with Murphy. He'd apologized the day after their confrontation at Cappy's. The memory of his sheepish look was almost enough to put a smile on her face. Almost. The tour opened December 20th. In 11 days, Stanley would walk through the house and decide whether or not she was good enough for Malcolm Realty. And now she couldn't find the flipping burlap. A growl escaped as she threw a bag of pine cones to the library floor. Whoa, bad day? Layla jumped. You scared me. The man walked like a ballerina. And was it that late already? She checked her watch. 5 o'clock. She hadn't gotten squat done today. What's wrong? She tossed aside another bag. I can't find the burlap. Have you seen it? Sorry, I haven't. Did he have to stand over her shoulder like that? She rooted through a bag of ornaments, the cellophane rattling. It was here, in one of these bags, I'm sure of it. He squatted beside her, grabbing her hand. Come on, we're getting out of here. She huffed. I can't. You've been at it since 6 a.m. Did you even stop for lunch? She gestured wildly. Look at this place. I have 11 days. There's a lot riding on this, Murphy. For you, it's one home show. For me, it's my job, my future. She grabbed another bag. He captured her shoulders. Layla. She slowed down enough to look at him. Put the bag down. You have to get a tree, right? Yes. So we'll grab a quick bite and head over to the Christmas tree farm. She looked into his calm eyes. She could use a little of that. Maybe a lot. If you don't get one soon, it'll be slim pickings, and you'll end up with a Charlie Brown tree. You don't want that, do you? He knew the right buttons to push. She couldn't settle for anything less than perfection. She pulled in a breath. Maybe she did need a break. She was starting to see dancing Christmas lights when she closed her eyes. He jerked his chin toward the door. Come on, let's go get a tree. The Christmas tree farm was on the west side of Chapel Springs, in the gently rolling hills by the state park. The private lane used to be a popular spot for teenagers to make out, but Layla had never been past the white wooden sign that proclaimed the farm's name and hours. She scanned the landscape as they rode down the long gravel drive. A soft blanket of snow pillowed the ground. Pine trees in varying sizes lined up alongside the lane. In the distance, the sun squatted low on the horizon, giving off the day's last light. We don't have much time. She tossed her wrapper into the Burger Barn bag and drained the last of her soda. It won't take long, unless you're going to hold out for the perfect tree. She smiled wide, blinking innocently, and he groaned. A few minutes later, they were out of the truck and walking toward the barn. The fresh scent of pine hung heavily in the crisp air. There weren't many customers, she was glad to note. Just a few families here and there. Outside the barn, a sign explained the variety and costs of trees. Tree wagons were lined up against the barn's red exterior, and a teenaged employee shoved a tree through a machine. It came out the other side netted and ready for a waiting couple. Okay, so how does this work? She asked. You've never been here? She shrugged. We always got our trees at Walmart, when they got one at all. Sometimes money was just too tight. Some Christmases had passed with hardly a mention, though Beckett and her grandpa had always made sure she had something to open. These days, a small artificial tree sufficed. It didn't always make it out of the box, though. First, we grab one of these. Beckett took the handle of a tree carrier. Grab a saw. What were you thinking? Blue spruce? Fraser fir? Let me look. She stopped in front of the sign and read about needles, fragrance, and cost. They're expensive. No wonder they hadn't always bought a tree. It was more than they'd spent on gifts. Get what you want. She settled on Scotch pine, and they headed toward the appropriate section. She pulled up her hood against the bite of the wind. Murphy tugged his cap lower, his ears and the tip of his nose already pink. The needles are going to be prickly with a scotch. She shrugged. I'll wear gloves. They walked side by side over the packed snow trail that was lined with evergreens. Layla scanned the fields. Hundreds and hundreds of trees. She tucked her gloved hand into her pocket, balling it into a fist for warmth. We used to come here every year, Murphy said. Dad would point to about 100 trees before Mom finally agreed to one. Then she'd supervise as Dad and I took turns with the saw. She got us hot chocolate while we waited for them to get our tree ready, and we sipped it while she proclaimed this year's tree the best ever. Layla's heart tugged. His parents had died several years ago in a small plane crash while they'd been out west on vacation. His father, who'd started the hardware store, had retired the year before. Sounds nice, she said. It was. The holidays have been a little lonely since they died. She wondered if that was why he didn't seem to have any Christmas decorations. What about you? He asked. What were Christmases like growing up? His breath fogged in front of him. The tree wagon bumped along behind him. They were great. Guilt pinched her, and she bit the inside of her lip. He'd been honest about his memories, painful as they probably were. She shrugged. Maybe not so great. She felt his appraisal, but he didn't press her. Maybe that's why she felt safe to continue. I don't remember much before my mom left, before her dad became a drunk and life had fallen apart. We put up a tree and had presents. She used to make us gingerbread cookies. That smell still takes me back. That's a happy memory. But after she left, things changed. Sometimes Dad was in jail, and it was just Grandpa and Beckett and me. Other times Dad was drunk. We didn't make a big deal of it. Grandpa always took us to church, but the tree and decorations, that didn't always happen. They walked in silence for a minute, the only sounds their footsteps on the packed snow and the creak of the wagon wheels. So Christmas time doesn't bring back good memories. Not especially, no. Now Grandpa was in the nursing home with Alzheimer's, and Beckett was joining the McKinley family. There was just Dad, and she knew better than to count on him. She supposed she was about to be as alone as Murphy. You can always make new memories. She thought of her tiny apartment with its treeless living room. Sure. When they reached the Scotch Pines, he veered off the path, trudging through fresh snow. Have you decided where we're going on our honeymoon? What? I've always wanted to go to Hawaii for Christmas. She nudged his arm. You seem to be forgetting there isn't going to be a wedding. I could get into a warm, sandy Christmas. Although, now that I think about it, Maui would be better. Less touristy, more private. You're delusional. His gaze bounced off hers, wearing a disarming half-smile. He stared off into the distance. A guy can dream, he muttered, into the wind. And Layla wondered if she'd heard right. An hour later, Layla stood back, surveying the naked tree. The Scotch stood 8 feet tall in the alcove of the built-in bay, thick, dark, and lush. Perfect. You're worse than Mom ever was, Murphy said from under the tree. I told you, my future's riding on this. He poured a pitcher full of water into the reservoir, his backside sticking out. That's a lot of pressure to put on a tree. She trimmed another branch. I think he's up for the challenge. Murphy backed out and looked up from his spot on the wood floor. He? She shrugged. Christmas trees are male. Everyone knows that. And you think I'm delusional. He softened the words with a smile, sitting back on his haunches. Should we decorate tonight, or are you beat? She looked at her watch. Yes and yes. Okay, let's do this right then. 20 minutes later, there was a fire crackling in the fireplace and Christmas music playing from his state-of-the-art sound system. They were carefully placing strands of candles. It was a challenge to make each one straight. She realized halfway through that they wouldn't be able to go much further without the popcorn strands. She'd hired a teenager from her old neighborhood to make them. Layla moved the ladder around the tree next to Murphy and stepped onto it. It wobbled, throwing her off balance, and she tightened her hold. Murphy, she said. He grabbed her waist, steadying her. The ladder stilled. His hands were warm through her thin sweater. I didn't do it, he said. She gave him a look over her shoulder. Scout's honor. She had her doubts he was ever a scout, but let it pass since he looked so sincere. She followed his gaze to the floor where a trimmed bough rested under the foot of the ladder. Oh, she said, sorry. She started to step down, but he hadn't moved. His hand still rested on her waist. They felt nice, strong and sure. The step evened their heights, bringing them eye to eye, calling attention to the silver flecks flashing in a sea of blue, to the perfectly sculpted nose trailing down to a nice set of lips. Bowed on top, generous on bottom. His thumbs moved at her waist, sending a shiver up her spine. Her eyes swung back to his and locked there. His words from earlier came back to her. A guy can dream. Did he really have feelings for her? The look in his eyes said he did. They said that, and so much more. His gaze dropped to her mouth, Layla's lips tingled with want. Her hands tightened on the metal rung. No, she couldn't want Murphy after what he'd done to her and Jack. He leaned in. The movement sent panic flooding through her. She stepped down, slipping past him. I think I'm about done for the night. She couldn't hide the tremor in her voice. Seth grabbed the ladder rung with both hands. The space where Layla had just stood was empty now. His head dipped forward as she scrambled for her coat behind him. Stupid. What was he thinking? See you in the morning, she said. He turned, mouth open for a reply, but she was slipping out the door. The door slammed, and a cold gush of wind drifted across the room. A minute later, the sound of her engine cut through the night. Headlights chased across the wall as she backed from the drive, and then she was gone. He ran a hand over his face. Idiot, the engagement is fake, Murphy. As much as he might lie to himself, tell himself it was real, it wasn't. All the public displays in the world didn't give him the right to kiss her or hold her or even touch her. Her response made that clear enough. And yet, he thought he'd seen something in her eyes, something promising, something hopeful. Maybe Layla's feelings were starting to change. Maybe she'd be willing to give him another chance. Or maybe it was only wishful thinking. Chapter 10. Layla set the white votive inside the mason jar and slid it down the table to Murphy. He caught the jar and cut a length of twine. I swear they're going to revoke my man card. Layla scooped sugar into the next jar and arranged red berries around the votive. You own a hardware store. I think your manhood is intact, he scowled. I'm tying bows on glass knickknacks. Don't you need some wood chopped or something? What I need is 30 of these to line the walkway, so butch up and tie the bow. It had taken a couple days for the awkwardness of Tuesday's incident to pass. Layla spent the time convincing herself Murphy hadn't really intended to kiss her. Had he actually leaned in? Maybe she'd only lost her balance and swayed a bit. No sense dwelling on that when there was so much to do. The main floor was almost complete, but she still had the upstairs and the exterior, and only 1 week to go. The fire crackled in the fireplace. Her gaze swept over the mantel where a pine swag draped lazily between three old-fashioned stockings. On the hearth, a set of wooden milking buckets overflowed with boughs and pine cones. The sled above the mantel had turned out nice, too. I saw the sewing room. Great idea. Thanks. I saw that sewing table at Grandma's attic and got inspired. She'd bought a length of red cotton batiste to drape over the table. I'm going to put a dress form in the corner and cover it with a Victorian morning dress. She was borrowing the dress from an antique collector in town. That'll look great. Have you heard from Stanley? I touched base with him yesterday. I was hoping he'd come over on Friday before the tour starts, but he's got plans that night. He's coming over on Saturday. A week from tomorrow? She nodded, which meant they'd have to drag out their engagement until a few days before their supposed wedding. How was that going to work? She was already tired of fielding questions at Cappy's and hearing complaints about their Christmas Eve wedding date. She could hardly wait to deal with the fallout. How are we going to handle all this? She slid the jar to him, her eyes flickering to his. All what? You know, the end of our pretend engagement. His mouth tightened as he focused on the twine, his thick fingers making awkward work of the bow. I don't know. Last time she'd brought it up, he changed the subject, but it had to be discussed. They were racing toward the deadline, and she needed a plan in place. It's going to fall awfully close to our pretend wedding, he frowned. I know that. Well, someone's going to practically get jilted at the altar, she said lightly, hoping to draw a smile. Her efforts failed. Don't worry, I'll take the fall. I got us into this, I'll get us out of it. He didn't seem too happy about that. She'd already been through one broken engagement. This one would be a breeze, though. No feelings involved. No feelings? You sure about that, Layla? She thought of Tuesday's incident, of the stirring in her stomach at his nearness, of the way she anticipated his return each evening. She told herself she was eager for help, but was that really true, or was she only kidding herself? She gazed at him from beneath her lashes, watched his sturdy hands work at the tedious task. It was Friday night, and instead of being out with friends, he was tying bows on ball jars. For her. Maybe he'd gotten them into this, but it was her fault that they'd followed through. He didn't owe her anything, unless you count the thing with Jack and Jessica. The newlyweds were arriving home tonight. Layla wasn't looking forward to seeing them. But she didn't want to think about that right now. She followed her string of thoughts back one thread to Murphy and their situation. She couldn't deny that her affection for him had grown. He'd weaseled his way into her heart a little with his quiet sincerity and teasing ways, with his crooked smile and his sea-blue eyes and his old worn cap. All the reasons he'd appealed to her 2 summers ago were still there. The stomach flutterings and noodle knees were there, too. What would have happened if Murphy had asked her out before Jack? Would she be settled into this house with him, warm and snug, a wedding band circling her finger? The thought made her ache inside. Is that what was supposed to happen, God? Was I supposed to go out with Murphy and not Jack? Did we somehow mess up your plans? Maybe she'd never know. Maybe she'd lost her chance at happiness and was destined to be alone the rest of her life. They worked in tandem, the fire popping and sizzling nearby. The musky scent of his cologne wafted over as he reached for a jar. Why didn't you ask me out? Layla blurted, suddenly needing to know. She bit the inside of her lip, cursing her impulsive tongue. Her heart beat erratically, thumping hard against her ribs. 2 summers ago, when we volunteered at the theater, I kept thinking you might. His hands paused on a spool of twine as he looked at her, his eyes somber. I wanted to, but I was coming off a difficult relationship. I needed some time. Regret laced his voice. Chloe Peterson. He nodded. She'd seen them around town for about a year. The grapevine claimed she'd cheated on him with Chris Geiger, but who knew? I was about to ask you out, he said. But before I could... Jack. His eyes skimmed over her face. You have no idea how many times I've regretted waiting. Her face warmed under his perusal. Her pulse skittered. Wonder what would have happened. One corner of his lips tipped up as a look of serenity passed over his face, displacing the regret. Who knows? Maybe we'd be engaged for real. Maybe, she thought. But she couldn't bring herself to say it out loud. Instead, before she got caught in his eyes, she placed another votive and slid the jar to Murphy while her mind toyed with the notion. The next afternoon, Layla let herself into Murphy's house. They'd kept at it until midnight, and this morning she'd had the earliest shift at Cappy's, coming in for lunch prep. They'd been busy with Christmas parties through lunch, and Layla had been on edge, wondering if Jessica would make an appearance. After work, she'd gone to see her grandpa at the nursing home, feeling guilty for missing the previous week. He didn't remember her today. She was ready for the quiet reprieve of Murphy's house. She shrugged from her coat, a familiar smell making her draw another breath. It smelled like Christmas, but it wasn't the piney scent of the tree or the wood smoke from last night's fire. She followed the smell toward the kitchen. Dirty mixing bowls sat in the sink, filled with water and assorted utensils. Flour dusted the island, and on it sat a baking sheet full of cookies. Layla moved closer, her lips parting as she neared the island. Gingerbread men. Her eyes skated over the misshapen forms. White eyes of varying sizes stared back. Fat buttons lined the fronts. The icing that outlined the cookies was sparse in places and globby in others. A laugh bubbled up at the pathetic sight of them, but it got stuck in her throat, held by the growing knot. The gesture caught her in the gut, like a sucker punch, leaving her breathless and teary-eyed. What Murphy lacked in artistic ability, he made up for in heart. She pulled in a breath, the scent of ginger filling her nose, and thought it might just be the best thing she'd ever smelled. Chapter 11. Seth talked Layla into attending his church on Sunday. Not only would it be odd for them to go separate ways so close to their nuptials, but it would also give Layla a chance to chat with Stanley. Seth sat tall in the pew, loving the feel of Layla pressed against his side. She wore a red dress that fell just short of her knees, and it was taking all kinds of willpower to keep his mind on the message. They'd slipped in late at her request, but now, as they stood for the last song, he could feel her muscles going taut, her spine lengthening. Jessica and Jack were 3 rows up, tanned and glowing with happiness. There'd be no avoiding them afterward, them or anyone else. Seth didn't care. He was proud to be with Layla, and his feelings were as real as the hymn book he held in his hands. After church, he fended off congratulatory wishes in the vestibule while Layla chatted with Stanley and his wife. Next time he checked on her, Jack was talking to her. Seth excused himself from Daniel Dawson, the young mayor, and hurried to Layla's side, not liking the familiar way Jack set his hand on her arm. Welcome back. Seth shook Jack's hand. Looks like you got plenty of sun. Stepping off the plane was a rude awakening, let me tell you. We had a great time, though. I was just telling Layla that Jess and I'd like to have you two over Thursday for dinner. Seth looked at Layla, not missing the panic behind her plastic smile. Oh, well, that's her last night before the tour opens. She's staging my house. She told me. He smiled fondly at Layla. I'm really proud of her. Something twisted inside Seth at the proprietary words. He set his hand at the curve of Layla's waist and pulled her closer. You should see the house. She's amazing. A delicious shade of pink rushed into Layla's cheeks, and he could hardly tear his eyes away. Layla cleared her throat, glancing at him. Jessica sidled up to Jack and nestled into his side. So are we on for Thursday? I'm making my lamb, and believe me, you don't want to miss it. Her eyelashes fluttered at Seth. Jack smiled down at her. She's a great cook. Seth wanted to smack Jack. How could they ever have been such close friends? I'm afraid Thursday's no good for us, is it, baby? Seth said. We'll be too busy with final touches on the house. He addressed Jessica. Layla's staging my house for the tour of homes. Oh, how cute. Well, you still have to eat. Plus, I invited my mom and Aunt Lorraine already, and they're expecting you. We're not taking no for an answer. She waved her manicured fingers at someone over Seth's shoulder. Seth tightened his hand on Layla. I don't think... Jessica touched Layla's arm, wincing. Oh, sweetie, is it still too hard? Seth fisted his free hand as he drew Layla into his side. She's engaged to me now, Jessica. You know what? Layla said. It's fine. I'm sure I'll be finished by then. We can come over for a couple hours. Perfect. See you at 7. Jessica parted with an air kiss to Layla's cheek and tugged Jack off to talk with someone else. Seth and Layla made their way to his truck, his stomach churning. He didn't want to sit through a meal with Jack and Jessica any more than Layla possibly could. It made him physically ache to see Jack and Layla together, even if he was married now. Thinking of his hands on Layla, his lips on hers, made Murphy want to punch a brick wall. He put the truck in drive and pulled from the lot. Once they were on the street, Layla dropped her head against the window, her hair falling over her face. He lifted his hand to brush the hair away, but she wouldn't welcome his touch. They weren't in public anymore. He turned up the heat instead. You didn't have to do that. We could have put it off. And let her think I'm still hung up on Jack? He sighed. He didn't want to put Layla through this dinner. Shoot, he didn't want to put himself through it. Seth turned the truck and angled up the hill. The sun glinted brightly off the snowy street. I can call him later and cancel. She sat up straight, squaring her shoulders. No, I have to get used to it sooner or later. His stomach clenched. To what? Seeing them together? We live in the same town. I can't avoid them forever. He hated the brittle sound of her voice. His heart worked as hard as the Chevy's engine as it climbed the hill. The thought of her pining for Jack soured his stomach. Is it hard? Is that your way of asking if I still love him? He kept forgetting he had no right. No right to ask things like that. No right to brush her hair from her eyes. You don't have to say. Maybe he didn't want to know anyway. Maybe it'd be another sucker punch to the gut. He wasn't a glutton for punishment. Or never had been until Layla. I don't love him anymore, she said softly. Her words sent a flood of relief through him. Maybe there was hope. Maybe he hadn't imagined the way she'd looked at him on the ladder last week, or the softening in her eyes when she thanked him for the cookies last night. He couldn't resist a look. Her face had relaxed, her eyes staring into the distance. In memory? In sadness? He couldn't tell. The only thing I feel in regard to Jack is humiliated. She tossed him a wry grin. I don't know what that says about me, but I'm pretty sure it's nothing good. The engine shifted gears as the road leveled. Seth let off the gas and turned onto his street. Anyone would feel the same. It only added insult to injury that she's your cousin, and not a very nice person, I might add. A minute later, he pulled into his drive, aware of the tension that threaded through the cab. You had to go and remind her about your part in it. You're making great headway here, Seth, and with exactly 5.5 days left. He shut off the engine and reached for the door. Layla grabbed his arm. Wait. Her green eyes flittered to his, then away again, looking uncharacteristically vulnerable. When they swung back to him again, piercing him with their sincerity, he wanted to pull her into his arms and hold her tight. He clenched his hands against the seat before he could act on the notion. I was wrong before. She tucked her hair behind her ear. It wasn't your fault, what happened with Jack and Jessica. She looked down at her purse straps, twined around her hand. I just needed somebody to blame, and you were convenient. I'm sorry. The words healed a broken place inside him. He let it soak in for a minute. I know what betrayal feels like. If I'd realized what was happening between them, I would have told you. I know. I'd never hurt you on purpose, Layla. She swallowed, nodded. I know that, too. That was something, wasn't it? Trust was a good place to start, especially after the kind of betrayal she'd been through. It made him want to prove he was the kind of man she deserved, the kind of man who'd love her for better or worse, the kind who was faithful and true. For what it's worth, he said, I think he's the biggest fool on the planet. Her eyes came back to him, as if needing not only to hear the words, but to see the authenticity on his face. Her lips curled up a fraction. Thanks, Seth. His heart squeezed at the sound of his name. Every inch of him wanted to touch her, wanted to pull her into his arms and claim her lips, her heart, wanted to hear his name escape on a sigh. But he sensed she needed space, time to sort through her feelings, and he'd give her that. He'd give her whatever she needed. He reached for the door handle. You said something about needing a 16-foot ladder. I'm afraid to ask what for. She cocked a brow as she opened the door. He loved seeing the strength return to her face, that sassy side he loved about her. Hope you're not afraid of heights. She glanced back over her shoulder with a mischievous smile as she slipped from the cab. The moment in the truck had eased something between them. Layla wasn't sure if it was her admission that she no longer loved Jack or her apology, but the tension gave way to a lighthearted afternoon. Despite the hard work and pressure of a deadline, she was having fun, with Seth of all people. He knew when to buckle down and when to play a practical joke to break the monotony. Outside now, she stepped down from the ladder and moved back to survey her work. There would be plenty of lights by the time they were done. The roofline remained untouched. Layla had teased him about heights, but truth was, she wasn't too fond of them herself. The wreath on the front door was large and beautiful, as was the fat swag Seth was hanging now above the gorgeous leaded door. Wreaths hung from every window. The lit mason jars would line the walkway. Every tree would twinkle with white lights. She tucked her gloved hands into her pockets and scanned the snowy yard, frowning. Something was missing. She couldn't put her finger on it. What's wrong? I don't know. The small yard stretched to the snow-packed street, sloping down just before the sidewalk. Its barrenness bothered her, but she couldn't exactly throw up a plastic Santa or standard yard ornaments like candy canes and peppermints. It's going to be great. Just wait till it's finished and lit. That would help, but that wasn't what was bugging her. A few well-made snowmen would fill the space, but who knew what the weather would do between now and Saturday? It wasn't the right look anyway. Something's missing, she said. Seth stepped down from the ladder and walked to the edge of the porch, hands low on his hips. His breath plumed in front of his face. She surveyed the yard again. Something big and old-fashioned. Artificial deer? She shook her head, even as a new thought occurred. Of course. She swung her head toward Murphy, a smile breaking loose. A sleigh. His brows popped up. A sleigh? An old-fashioned sleigh. It'll be perfect. She trudged through the few inches of snow and stood in the middle of the yard. Right here, facing this way, lit with white lights, a garland draped around the edges, and big fat presents piled in the back seat. Unable to contain her excitement, she clapped her hands. Seth's lips twitched. And where do you think you're going to find a sleigh at this late date, little miss? Her smile fell. You're right. It's too late. Even she could hear the defeat in her voice. It wasn't something she could run down to the hardware store for. It wasn't even something Grandma's attic carried, and she didn't know anyone who had one. She might be able to find one online or at an antique store somewhere, but get it here in time? In 5 days? Besides, she didn't have time to hunt one down. It would have been perfect. Unique. Seth came down the porch steps. Well, hang on. Maybe we can find one. You know of someone who has one? No, but that doesn't mean there isn't one sitting around a barn somewhere. I don't have time to refurbish some broken-down thing. My schedule's full this week as it is. It would have to be hauled out here and cleaned up. The big presents would have to be made, the lights and garland strung. I really needed it a week ago. I'll find you a nice one, and I'll find it today, and I'll help you get it ready. She gave him a look. You are delusional. It's already 4 o'clock, and the antique stores are closed on Sundays. He crossed his arms, aiming a cocky grin her way. You underestimate me, Layla. I'll make it happen. She gave him a wary look. How? I'm not giving away my secrets. His eyes lit mischievously. But I'm willing to bet on it. Suitable sleigh, right here, by midnight tonight. Now she was suspicious. You know someone who has one. No, I don't. Scout's honor. Now, are you taking the bet or not? She turned her face from him, her eyes narrowing on him. What kind of bet? Name your price. She stared at the house, thinking. If you don't find one, you have to... Her gaze climbed to the roof. Do the roof line. She smiled big. He looked up, squinting against the light, then back to her. Fine. I'm not losing anyway. He pulled his keys from his coat pocket. Time's a-wasting. With one last smile over his shoulder, he headed for his truck. Wait, what about you? He turned in the snow, giving her a strange look. Then he slowly started toward her. It took all her willpower to keep her boots planted as he came within inches of her. If I win, he said, those blue eyes warming her clear down to her toes, I get to kiss you. His lips twitched as his eyes slid down to her mouth and back up where they held her hostage. Layla swallowed hard. With a final look, he traced his steps to his truck, only turning once he reached the door. And Layla, he said with a smug grin, I will win. 5 hours later, the work was going slow. Layla had lost her helper and had moved inside when darkness had fallen. It would be worth the reduced production if only Seth found a sleigh. But as badly as she wanted one, the stakes he'd put on it made her stomach knot. Would he really collect on the kiss? Did she want him to? Things had changed since last week on the ladder. They'd spent hours working and talking and sharing. She'd forgiven him for his minor role in the Jack and Jessica fiasco. Then there were those gingerbread cookies. And let's face it, you're attracted to the man. She still saw him shirtless when she closed her eyes at night, still saw the rippling muscles of his arms, the sturdy set of his shoulders. She thought of the protective way he'd slipped his arm around her when they'd stood with Jack and Jessica. Despite priding herself on independence, she'd liked the way it felt, liked the way he made her skin tingle, made her heart shiver. Yes, if he brought home a sleigh, she'd let him kiss her. And she'd enjoy it, she had no doubt about that. But every car that roared outside the windows passed on by, and every time her phone buzzed, it was a text from Cooper or one of her other friends. Layla picked up the sprigs of pine and berries for the kitchen counter. Come on, girl, you've got work to do. By the time she'd finished the arrangements, her hands ached from twisting and cutting. She was placing the pieces strategically when she heard a commotion out front. Please let it be a sleigh. She rushed to the front door and opened it. Seth and another man were squeezed into the front seat of a sleigh, a horse-drawn sleigh. The house's exterior light shone down on the beautiful animal as he pulled the sleigh across the sidewalk, up the slope, and came to a stop at the precise spot she pointed out. Layla slipped on her boots and stepped onto the porch, crossing her arms against the cold. Seth turned to her, smiling. "This about right?" he called. Her eyes ran over the sleigh as she took the porch steps. It was an antique red two-seater with a sloped back and curved runners. She clasped her hands to her chest. "Seth, it's perfect." He introduced her to Mr. Stevens, a customer of his who lived outside Chapel Springs. They chatted while he unhitched the horse. Layla admired the condition of the sleigh. Plush red velvet covered the benches, dotted with matching upholstery buttons. The sleigh's exterior was smooth and shiny with gold detailing. A few minutes later, Layla thanked Mr. Stevens as he mounted the horse and said goodnight. Then he was trotting down the street, the horse's hooves clip-clopping on the packed snow. "So it meets with your approval?" Seth asked. "It's beautiful. How'd you find it?" Seth climbed down and began covering it with a tarp. "I called about 100 friends and customers." She arched a brow as she moved forward to help. "100?" "A slight exaggeration. Eventually, someone pointed me toward Mr. Stevens. He was in my store a while back, and I helped him out with a furnace problem. Saved him some money. He was happy to return the favor." When they finished, a cold wind tousled her hair, and Layla tucked her hands into her jean pocket, shivering. "Well, thanks. It's just what I'd imagined, and in great shape. Let's get you inside. It's cold." She wasn't going to argue. The temperature had dropped since sunset. She kicked off her boots by the closet and moved closer to the fire. She heard the door shut behind her, heard the sound of Seth shrugging from his coat and boots. Then all went quiet except the pop and sizzle of the simmering fire. She wondered what he was doing back there. She tossed on another log and warmed her hands. They were shaking. Unable to bear the silence, she looked over her shoulder. Seth was leaning against the door, arms crossed, watching her, an enigmatic smile on his face. The golden glow of the lamplight washed over his face, highlighting his 5 o'clock shadow. She was suddenly aware that her hair had come loose from her ponytail, that her worn jeans and t-shirt were probably smudged with who knew what. This wasn't how she'd imagined looking when Seth kissed her. Why hadn't she done something with herself while he was gone? But judging by the look on his face, he didn't care about any of that. No longer needing the fire's warmth, she moved away, lifting her chin and tossing her ponytail over her shoulder. "What?" "I won," he said quietly. "Won what?" Did he hear the tremor in her voice? His lips twitched. "Our deal. Sleigh by midnight. The kiss. Ring any bells?" She bit the inside of her lip, fishing for courage. "Looks like we both won, then." He cocked his head sideways, narrowing his eyes. "Because you got your sleigh?" There was her chance to save face. But what fun would that be? She arched a brow instead. "That too." She drove her point home with a smile, ignoring the way she trembled from the inside out. His eyes darkened as his head tipped back. His cocky half-smile fell. "Oh yeah, he got it." He straightened against the door as his hands fell to his sides. He took a step toward her, then another. "You're in so much trouble." His voice was as thick as honey. "You know that, right?" He advanced with a slowness that intimidated and excited her. "Promises, promises." Her breath left on a shudder. Unable to hold her ground, she stepped back once, then again. Her back hit the wall. No getting away now. And honest truth, she didn't want to. Even though her insides quaked like an epicenter, even though fear trickled through her veins. And still he came. His eyes held her captive. Her heart thrashed like a caged bird's wings. And yet, she didn't want to be anywhere else but locked up in Murphy's arms. He didn't stop until they were toe to toe. As if remembering the way she'd bolted last time, he braced his hands against the wall on either side of her. 2 weeks ago, the move would have left her feeling trapped. Now her only complaint was that he was too far away. His eyes dipped to her lips, and every cell in her yearned to strain forward. But she held still, contented herself with the way his face softened, the way his eyes whispered over her face, as tangible as a caress. A shiver ran down her arms. He lowered his head. Their lips met, a mere brush. Her legs trembled. Her pulse raced. Her heart cracked open. How could the softest of brushes undo her so completely? He came back for more, and warmth curled through her. She strained toward him, loving the manly smell of him, the taste of him on her lips. She tightened her fingers, nails biting into her palms. His thumb found the curve of her cheek, touching her with a reverence that melted her. It was just a kiss, yet it was so much more. She felt his tenderness toward her, his care. She remembered his words earlier, his promise that he'd never hurt her on purpose. She'd feared she'd never find a trustworthy man, but Seth made her want to try, made her wonder if she'd already found him. He pressed closer, his body warm and solid against her. His hands slid around her waist, pulling her closer, splaying against the small of her back. Layla's fingers unfurled, sliding up his arms, winding around his neck, weaving into the hair at his nape. It was feather soft and chilly from the cold night air. She imagined coming home every night to a kiss like this one, to the security of his arms, to the passion he kindled inside her. When they parted, she was short of breath and weak of knees. He set his forehead against hers, and she closed her eyes, inhaling the smell of him. Musk and snow and wood smoke. Confession, he whispered a moment later. I would have gotten you the sleigh without the kiss. She opened her eyes, smiling at his words, soaking in the warmth of his gaze. I would have given you the kiss without the sleigh. His eyes lit. He nuzzled her nose. Then you won't mind giving me another, he said. Not so much, she whispered just before he pressed his lips to hers again. Chapter 12. It's perfect. Seth wrapped his arms around her, pulling her back into his chest. I'll bet you win the People's Choice Award. Layla scanned the living room, hoping he was right. She'd worked long hours this week on the exterior and upstairs. She'd put the finishing touches on the main floor, adding snowshoes on the wall above the sofa and black and white photos here and there. True to his word, Seth had finished the sleigh, and it looked just as she'd imagined. In the evenings, there'd been lots of talking and a kissing break or two to break the monotony. An old record player sat on the sofa table stocked with old Christmas records, and a spicy apple cider mixture was ready to go on the stove. There was nothing else to be done. I hope Stanley likes it. He's going to love it. Seth's arms tightened around her. His breath stirred the hair at her temple. As busy as the week had been, she'd savored every moment with him. Once she'd let him into her heart, he'd quickly filled every nook and cranny. Sometimes it felt as if he'd been there all along. Maybe he had been. You know you're amazing at what you do, right? He said. And I'm not just saying that because I like kissing you. She smiled, letting his compliment soak in. It was hard to believe in herself. Sometimes she didn't feel good enough to stage such beautiful homes. Sometimes she didn't feel like she belonged in his world. What's wrong? Nothing. He turned her in his arms, tilting his head, his eyes shadowed under the brim of the cap. Tell me. She told him plenty this week about lots of stuff, including her childhood. He'd listened without judging. He was a safe place for honesty. She loved that about him. That and so much more. I don't know, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm good enough for this. He frowned. What do you mean? She shook her head. It's just leftover stuff from childhood, I guess. Little girl from the wrong side of the tracks, disreputable family, all that. Sometimes I wonder if that's why I connect with staging, you know? I take something that's messed up, she gave a wry grin, dress it up and make it look special. He cradled her face in his palms, looking her in the eye. Hey, you don't need dressing up. You're already special. Her eyes stung at his words, at the sincerity in his eyes. Thanks. Your identity doesn't come from your address. I know. Or your parents. I know that, too. She did. But sometimes the knowledge failed to make the 12-inch journey to her heart. His thumbs moved over her cheek, sending shivers dancing down her spine. God made you special, Layla, inside and out, and he gifted you with an amazing talent. It was easier to believe when Seth said it, when he was looking at her like he adored her. She wanted to fall into the swirling waters of his sea-blue eyes. You know I'm crazy about you, he said. She bit her lip, half afraid her own confession would come tumbling out, half afraid it wouldn't. She was crazy about him. She was falling so hard and fast she was dizzy with it. You don't have to say a word, he said. It's all right there in your eyes. Think so? No so. A teasing light entered his eyes. And I'm always right, you know. She gave a wry smile. One of those, are you? Know what else I'm right about? I can hardly wait to find out. He brushed his lips across hers, drawing back with a tender smile. Jack's going to eat his heart out tonight when he has to sit across the table and know what he missed out on. Ugh, you had to go and remind me about dinner. Well, it's in an hour, so you weren't likely to forget. She sighed. I need a shower. I'll pick you up at 10 till, he said. And then he kissed her again, long and sweet, until desire spread slow and thick through her veins. Jack and Jessica lived in a contemporary home situated on a knoll overlooking the river. All that college had paid off for Jack, landing him a job with Nolan, Wells, and Ebb. Apparently, that was paying pretty well these days. I should have asked to bring something, Layla said as they climbed the brick porch steps. She fussed with the neckline of her black dress, second-guessing her choice. A cold wind caught the hemline of the skirt, pebbling her legs with goose flesh. She would have said no, Seth said. I still should have asked. He rang the bell beside the double doors and took her cold hand, bringing it to his lips. Have I told you how beautiful you look? She looked into his eyes, released a breath she didn't know she'd held. She smiled. Twice. He had a way of calming her. Just by being there. Thank God he was with her tonight. Between this dinner and Stanley's upcoming decision, she was a wreck. You look pretty handsome yourself. I know. Some foxy lady told me my shirt matches my eyes. Her lips twitched. Who says foxy? The double doors swung open, Jessica at one and Jack at the other. The gap widened, light flooding out, and then, surprise! A chorus of people shouted. Layla scanned the group crowded into the bright two-story atrium. Faces came into focus. A friend of Seth's, Beckett, Madison, her family, Mayor Dawson, Layla's father, her aunts, Stanley Malcolm. Seth tightened his grasp on her hand. What's all this? His smile seemed genuine, but his voice was strained. Layla remembered belatedly to smile. Jack ushered them in. Jessica and I thought you needed an engagement party. Hope you don't mind. Thanks so much, guys. Seth squeezed Layla's hand. Yes, thank you, everyone, she said, encompassing the group. Are you surprised? Aunt Lorraine asked. Totally, Layla said. Now there was an honest statement if ever there was one. Her coat was taken from her shoulders, and she was relieved of her bag. Dinner's in half an hour, Jessica said. Now go mingle. She tugged them into the crowd as everyone dispersed into the sitting room. Music played from a stereo somewhere. Iridescent white and silver balloons clustered here and there. One had floated up to the cathedral ceiling and clung to a massive beam, its white ribbon hanging stagnant. Layla wished she could float away, too. A crowd gathered around them, buzzing with congratulations, asking about wedding plans. Layla worked to keep her smile in place as Seth pulled her tight into his side and fielded most of the questions. He seemed to be slowly moving them toward the back of the room, where a set of French doors, leading to a balcony, promised freedom. Across the room, she caught her brother's frown aimed her way. Why didn't you tell me? She telegraphed with her eyes. He shrugged helplessly, and she remembered the phone calls she'd ignored this afternoon and her haste to finish the house. She smiled and nodded as her aunts fussed over them. How had this happened? It was supposed to be an intimate family dinner party. Bad enough, but this? When her aunts excused themselves, Seth's store manager and his wife took their places. He was droning on about his own wedding, his wife correcting him every two sentences. The room was loud with music and laughter and idle chatter. All the bodies that crowded into the house made the temperature stifling. Layla tried to push up her heavy sleeves and found them stiff and unyielding. Across the way, Stanley Malcolm worked the room in his Armani suit. His wife waved at someone, her diamonds flashing on her fingers like a million stars. When the manager's wife asked a question, Layla turned her attention back to the couple, but Murphy gracefully answered. Mingling was hard enough, but sooner or later, the focus would turn to them, the happy couple, and she'd have to look into a sea of family and friends and lie. Her throat closed around her windpipe. Her fingers grabbed a fistful of Seth's suit coat at his back. Seth leaned close. You okay? She nodded. Across the room, she caught her dad's eye. He raised his glass and saluted her with his cola. She tried for a smile. She caught a glimmer of pride in his eyes. How many years had she waited for that? And it was all a lie. Why, oh why, had she started down this ridiculous path? Seth broke free of the couple, and they managed a few steps before Madison's parents, Mr. and Mrs. McKinley, stopped them. You look flushed, dear, Mrs. McKinley said after a few minutes of wedding chatter. It is a bit warm in here. I was just taking her out back for some fresh air. Seth tugged her hand. We'll catch up with you later. Layla smiled her gratitude as the couple shooed them toward the balcony. They made it as far as the threshold between the sitting room and the dining room before they were stopped again, this time by her father. Her dad hugged her and shook Seth's hand. You make a fine couple. Beckett and Madison joined them. Look, you're under the mistletoe, Madison said, eyes sparkling playfully. Jessica appeared at their side. "Hey, everyone," she called over the clamor. "The lovebirds are under the mistletoe." Voices hushed, and expectant faces turned their way. Her family backed out of the spotlight, leaving her and Seth alone. He tugged her close and smiled down at her. "Happy to oblige," he whispered, just before his lips settled on hers for the briefest of touches. A polite smattering of applause sounded along with a few good-natured boos. Layla offered a strained smile, then turned toward the French doors. She'd taken two steps when someone clinked their glass. "Speech!" More clinking sounded, more beckons for a speech. She stopped, shooting a panicked look at Seth. Swallowing hard, she looked over the eager faces of their guests, here to celebrate their engagement, their fake engagement. Stanley Malcolm and his wife, the mayor, business owners. But that wasn't who got to her. What got to her was her family, her friends, her dad, her brother, Madison and her family, gazing adoringly at the phony bride and groom, at them. As if sensing her rising panic, Seth pulled her into his side. But it wasn't enough this time. Not even close. Her throat closed. Her mouth dried. A trickle of sweat ran down her back. She looked into the warmth of his eyes. "I can't do this anymore. We have to end it." He put his back to the crowd, blocking Layla from their sight. His lips parted. She could see the denial on his face. Then something seemed to shift as he stared into her eyes. "Okay, I get it. I do. But it doesn't have to be that way, Layla. Just listen, and everything will be..." "Don't you dare say it's going to be fine," she said through a smile. "It's not fine. All these people think we're getting married on Tuesday. They came here to celebrate us. We're lying to our friends and family for a job." Before he could stop her, she moved around him, stepping back toward the living room and addressed the crowd. "I have an announcement to make." Before they could hush, Seth turned her around, his mouth coming down on hers, confident and possessive. She set a hand on his chest with every intention of pushing him away. But then his lips softened, and her resistance melted. The crowd cheered. Someone let out a catcall, the last thing she heard, the last rational thought she had. A moment later, when she was shaky and breathless, he drew away. "You gotta stop standing under the mistletoe," he said softly. She closed her eyes, drawing a steadying breath as the crowd hushed again. His kiss had wiped the slate of her mind clean. She needed a moment, just 2 seconds to gather her thoughts. "What Layla's trying to say," Seth said, staring into her eyes, "is there's been a slight change in plans." What was he doing? She looked at him questioningly. He squeezed her hand, reassured her with his eyes. "We're moving the wedding back a bit." "Seth," she whispered. He palmed her cheek, his eyes skating over her face, and lowered his voice. "You know you want to go to Hawaii. Come on, Layla. I love you. I have for a long time. Let's make this real." She blinked. He wanted to marry her? For real? "Think, Layla. I thought you preferred Maui." "You're stalling." His eyes turned somber. "Do you love me?" Everyone's staring. "Do you love me, Layla?" She swallowed against the burning in her eyes and whispered the truth that had been lingering in her heart for days. "Yes." His lips turned up. Silver flecks danced in his eyes. "Marry me for real. If you want to wait till spring or summer, we will. I'll wait as long as you want." "Ahem," someone said. "You were making an announcement?" Chuckles sounded. "What do you say?" Seth whispered. What could she say with him looking at her like that, eyes full of love, heart full of hope? She cleared her throat, her gaze never leaving his, and addressed the crowd. "What Seth's trying to say is that we're putting off the wedding until New Year's Eve, so all of you can come." Cheers sounded as a smile broke out on Seth's face, his sweet lips stretching wide. "I can wait that long." "An extra 7 days," she teased. "Are you sure?" Someone announced dinner, and the crowd flooded toward the kitchen, some stopping to express their approval. Stanley set a hand on her shoulder as he passed. "Looking forward to seeing the house tomorrow. I've heard great things about it." "What did I tell you?" Seth said when Stanley was gone. "He's going to love it." He tugged her toward the kitchen. Someone had opened the French doors. A cold breeze fluttered the filmy curtains and swept over her heated flesh, making her shiver. Outside, fat flakes had begun to fall from an onyx sky. They swirled and danced in the wind before melting into the rippling river. Layla curled into Seth's side for warmth as they passed. "I hope you were serious about Hawaii." He pressed a kiss to her head. "I'd never joke about a honeymoon." Epilogue. Layla slid into a chair in the darkened corner of the town hall and slipped off her heels. The McKinley family had transformed the hall into a wonderland of silver and ice blue. Circular tables dotted the room, covered with white cloths and featuring small flower arrangements. People milled in groups, chatting, laughing, dancing. She settled into the chair, twisting the rings on her finger, admiring the antique set. When Seth had presented his grandmother's rings, she'd known it was the set she'd wear the rest of her life. The platinum band featured a round, brilliant-cut diamond. A curved row of channel-set diamonds filled out the other band, curling intricately around the larger diamond. One of her favorite country tunes began, and Layla considered another turn on the dance floor, but her aching feet said no. The past several days had been a whirlwind. The silent night tour of houses had been a raging success. Seth's home had taken the People's Choice Award, and Layla had walked away with a contract from Malcolm Realty. She took a moment to breathe a prayer of thanks. She was going to be very busy in the coming weeks. Busy doing what she loved. Busy starting her new life with Seth. After the tour ended, Madison had taken her dress shopping. They'd found a simple but beautiful dress at a boutique in Louisville. Madison said she was stunning in it, and if the look on Seth's face as she came down the aisle was any indication, he agreed. Her eyes scanned the crowd for her groom, and she found him walking toward her, his eyes fixed on her. He looked so handsome in his crisp white shirt and bow tie. He ditched the suit coat shortly after arriving at the reception. She watched him approach, taking in his broad shoulders, narrow hips, and long legs. His dark hair, free for once from his baseball cap, curled enticingly at the collar of his shirt. His eyes sparkled under the lights, and his lips curved in that adorable half-smile of his. All mine. And she couldn't wait to get him alone. They were spending their wedding night at his place. Tomorrow, they were off to Maui. A whole week of sand, sunshine, and Seth. She couldn't help the giddy smile that formed as he neared. He dropped into the seat beside her and leaned in close, his thigh pressing against hers. What put that pretty smile on your face? You. He rewarded her with a long look and followed up with a lingering kiss, the kind that made her wish the evening was over. He palmed her face, deepening the kiss. His fingers threaded into the loose hair at her nape, sending shivers down her arms. The song wound to a close, and the microphone squealed. All right, everyone, Mr. McKinley said over the intercom. I'm told it's time to see the couple off. Gather out front, please. Seth drew away. I hope it's okay. I told him we were ready. She gave him a final kiss. You read my mind. Seth tugged her to her feet. My shoes, she said, scrambling for them. He helped her slip them on, and they made their way toward the door where the crowd was gathering out front. She gave last-minute hugs to her family. Madison appeared, slipping Layla's coat around her shoulders. You're going to need this. Did someone pull the car around? Layla asked Seth as they stepped outside into the crowd. Birdseed rained down on them. She squealed and ducked her head against the onslaught. Seth grabbed her hand, pulling her through the tunnel of well-wishers. They emerged unscathed at the sidewalk, laughing and brushing the birdseed from their hair and clothes. When Layla raised her head, she paused at the side on the street. A horse-drawn sleigh waited curbside. In the front seat, Mr. Stevens, holding the reins, winked at her. Come on, wife, Seth said. Your ride awaits. She gave Seth a huge smile as he helped her into the back seat. The sleigh teetered as he entered behind her. He set a blanket over their laps. Then they waved to the cheering crowd as the sleigh pulled away. A few moments later, only the clip-clop of the horse's hooves and the shush of the runners broke the silence of the night. Seth adjusted the blanket and tucked Layla close. Warm enough? Yes. Though the air was chilly, she felt snug under the thick blanket, curled into her husband's side. I can't believe you did this. He leaned close, his warm breath stirring the hair at her temple. It's going to cost you. She stifled a smile, remembering their bet and the subsequent payout. And I'm not settling for a kiss this time, he said. Oh, yeah? Yeah. He leaned in and feathered her lips with a kiss. But we'll start there and see where it goes. Her smile quickly faded as he kissed her again, and soon all she heard was the beating of her own heart. Discussion questions. 1. Who is your favorite character and why? 2. Layla went to a lot of extremes to reach her goal of working with Stanley Malcolm. Have you ever gone overboard in trying to reach your goals? What was the outcome? 3. Layla worried too much about how others perceived her. How did this affect her decisions? Do you worry too much about what others think of you? 4. Layla blamed Seth for her breakup with Jack because she needed someone to blame. Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation? How did it work out? 5. How is Layla's profession a reflection of how she views herself? An excerpt from Barefoot Summer. Madison McKinley scanned the crowded town hall, wondering how many of her friends and neighbors she'd have to fight to get what she came for. Half of Chapel Springs had turned out to support the fire department. The faint scent of popcorn and coffee from last night's Rotary Club meeting still lingered in the air, and the buzz of excitement was almost palpable. When she reached the front of the line, she registered for her paddle, then looked for her mom. She spotted Joanne McKinley seated on the left, near the old brick wall. Before Madison could move, Dottie Myers appeared in the busy aisle. "Madison, hello, dear. I was wondering if I could bother you about Ginger. I found a little knot behind her leg. I'm worried it might be something serious. Last time, it had only been a burr." Still, Madison set a hand on the woman's arm. "I'm sure it's fine, but I'll have Cassidy call you tomorrow and squeeze you in, okay?" "All right, everyone," the MC was saying into the mic. "It's about that time." "Thank you so much, dear," Dottie was saying. "I'm so excited about this year's play. It's called Love on the Line. You are planning on coming out again, aren't you? You'll be fabulous as Eleanor." Auditions were still 2 months away. "Looking forward to it. See you tomorrow." Madison participated in the town's production every year. She enjoyed the theater, and the proceeds supported the local animal shelter, a cause she was committed to. She turned toward her mom and ran straight into a wall. Oomph. Or a chest. A hard chest. She looked up into the face of the one man she least wanted to see, much less slam into. She jumped back, looking square into his unfathomable coal-colored eyes. She nodded once. "Beckett?" He returned the nod. "Madison?" His black hair was tousled. He wore a DeWitt's Marina work shirt and at least 2 days' stubble. His jaw twitched. She hadn't spoken to him since she confronted him 2 weeks ago, for all the good it had done. "Please take your seats," the MC said. "Gladly." She stepped to the left at the same time as Beckett. He was wide as Boulder Creek and twice as dangerous. She'd always thought so. The incident with her little sister had only confirmed it. "Excuse me," she said. He slid right and swept his arm out as if to say, "After you, princess." She shot him a look, then hurried down the aisle and slid into a metal chair beside her mom. "Hi, sweetie. Good day?" Mom's short blonde hair and blue eyes sparkled under the fluorescent lights, but it was her smile that lit the room. 12 dogs, 7 cats, 2 bunnies, and a partridge in a pear tree. Beckett passed her row and slid into a seat up front by his sister. Layla had long brown hair and a model pretty face. Their mom must have been beautiful, though Madison didn't remember her. Beckett leaned over and whispered something to his sister. Madison tore her eyes away and loosened her death grip on the auction paddle. She refused to think about Beckett O'Reilly tonight. The MC took the podium and spoke about the importance of the fire station and their financial needs. Then she introduced the auctioneer, hardly necessary since he also ran the local gas station. Moments later, the bidding was underway. Madison's eyes swung to Beckett's dark head. She could swear he was stalking her lately. He seemed to be everywhere she turned. If anything, the man should be avoiding her. Should feel ashamed of, well, whatever he did to Jade. Madison tracked the auction items, ticking off each one as they sold to the highest bidder. A handmade quilt, piano lessons, pie of the month, a cabin rental at Patoka Lake, and dozens of other things generously donated by the community. Someone had made a miniature replica of the town sign. "Welcome to Chapel Springs, Indiana," it said. "Prettiest river town in America." A writer from Midwest Living had used the phrase 12 years ago, and the town had squeezed every last drop from it. Evangeline Simmons, 85 if she was a day, amused all by driving up the bids. It was no secret that the fire department had saved her beloved Persian from a tree last month. So far, her generosity had left her with 2 items she probably had no need for. But money was no object for Evangeline. People trickled out as the auction wore on. Beckett left after losing a toolkit. Over an hour later, Madison grew tense as her item came up. The auctioneer read from the sheet. "All right, ladies and gentlemen, this next one's a winner. DeWitt Marina has kindly donated a sailing regatta package. Lessons taught by sailing enthusiast Evan Higgins. Learn how to race on the beautiful Ohio River just in time for our 45th annual River Sail Regatta and sail with Evan Higgins, winner of the regatta for 2 years running. Now he'll give me $500. Madison's grip tightened on the handle, waiting for the auctioneer to lower the bid. Her breath caught in her lungs. "Patience, girl." "All right. $100. He'll give me $100. $100 bid. Casually, Madison lifted her paddle. $100 bid? Now $150. He'll give me $1.50. In her peripheral vision, she could see her mom's head swing toward her just as Evangeline raised her paddle and the bid. $150. He'll give me $2. Now $2. Madison lifted her paddle, keeping her eyes straight ahead. $200. Now he'll give me $250. $50. Got it. Now $300. He'll give me $3. Madison sighed, waited a moment before nodding. $3. Now he'll give me $3.50. $350. $50. Evangeline turned toward Madison, her eyes twinkling. She raised her paddle. Evangeline. Madison hadn't counted on spending so much. would serve the lady right if she dropped out. Just imagining the spry old woman on the bow of a boat, trying to manage the ropes and sails and whatnot, all 4'11" of her, it was tempting. Madison could, after all, just go down to the marina and buy the lessons, but then she wouldn't be virtually assured of a win, would she? She needed Evan Higgins for that. 350, do I hear 350? Got it. Now 4, who'll give me 4? A murmur had started in the crowd that remained, a few chuckling at Evangeline's antics. The woman lifted her paddle. And now we're at 4.5, 4.5, who'll give me 5, 5, 5? Madison clenched her jaw. She glared at Evangeline's silver head. It's a good cause, it's a good cause. And we have 5, 5, who'll give me 5.50, 5.50, 5.5? The rumbling had grown louder, though half the crowd was gone now that the auction was nearly over. The remaining people were being rewarded for their patience with a good show. 5.50, 50.50? Evangeline turned, and their eyes met. Her thin lips widened into a grin. Then she folded her hands on top of her paddle. I've got 5 now. 5.50, 5.50. Anyone? 5.50? And sold at 500 to Madison McKinley. Madison expelled a heavy breath. She was $500 poorer, but she had her lessons. She was going to learn to sail, and she was going to win the regatta. For Michael's sake. The story continues in Barefoot Summer by Denise Hunter.
You've been listening to the audio production of A December Bride. Text copyright 2013 by Denise Hunter. Production copyright 2013 by Zondervan. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of Zondervan. For more information on other fine books and audio products from Zondervan, please visit your favorite retailer or visit us online at zondervan.com. A December Bride was produced by Mark Eric and recorded at Empirical Studios in Austin, Texas.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.